Good evening, brothers and sisters of the Leaf. Coming to you live from the upstairs balcony of O'Brien's Irish Pub in historic downtown Temple, Texas, it's the Tuesday Night Cigar Club Podcast. Tonight, the boys take one for the team and subject themselves to the messy, toxic spill of a movie that is Zombievers. To help wash the taste of beaver out of their mouths, the crew will be sampling the Dankosaurus IPA from Cedar Creek Brewery, paired with the uber rare and smooth Florida Oliva 10th Anniversary Robusto Cigar. Sounds like we're in store for a plethora of sudsy pints, tasty smokes, and a shit ton of gratuitous beaver jokes. So sit back, light them up, and enjoy the show.
It's Tuesday night, bitches.
All right, bitches.
Welcome to the Tuesday Night Cigar Club Podcast, episode 10, bitches.
Oh boy, I sense a trend I'm not gonna like.
Trends, bitches! You're not going to go there.
We are there.
We are already there.
No, well then, fuck it. Welcome to the Tuesday Night Cigar Club Podcast, bitches.
You took us down that road and a tree just fell right across our path.
Bitches.
Bitches.
Bitches, please. Episode 10. Can you believe it, boys? 10 episodes already. Do you remember where you were the first time Tuesday Night Cigar podcast aired?
I just realized that our 10th episode, the milestone. All right, bitches, let's go.
Can't believe we've been doing it for this many years already.
Yes. I know.
It's only been... what does that equate to in months?
Cody had luscious hair when we started.
The stress of this job.
Minty was under 6 feet tall.
And we hadn't been picked up by the Logo Network at that point.
Bitches! Tuttle had yet to be circumcised. And I had just ordered my first Merkin.
God.
Time flies, ladies and gents. This is our 10th episode. The Bitches, I promise, has a purpose. And I promise we'll stop doing it. I can't promise that.
Yeah.
We'll try to not do it at some point.
It's not as epic as Swamp Toss, but
it is not as epic as Swamp Toss, but it does tie into the perfect film to do for our milestone 10th episode. But thank you for joining us. Last week we did cover the Arnold Schwarzenegger zombie drama Maggie, which surprisingly to me, shortchanged you guys. Everyone loved. And it was our first show. We had to edit down a little bit. We almost talked 5 hours about the damn thing.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was crazy good. It was crazy good. And we talked a lot about a bunch of different stuff.
I was going to say, it was like a trifecta. Great movie, great cigar, great beer.
The Danny Marshall Red Label cigar was phenomenal.
Yeah.
What I remember, the Love Street beer was... I remember it being highly drinkable.
It was. Mincy, the beer was flowing like a river.
You say that it flowed like wine?
Yes.
It's basically like wine that tastes like beer.
It's basically what you're saying is you had the perfect podcast in my absence.
Yeah,
yes. And like I think I mentioned earlier, if somebody checked their fax machine, you would have seen that you were fired and you wouldn't be here tonight. But that'll be waiting for you in the morning.
It's kind of awkward, but...
It's kind of awkward, but let's just roll with it.
Hey, let's turn it into...
Step into the 21st century, dude. I don't have a fax machine.
Let's turn it into a celebration.
If you want me, you beat me.
Cocksuckers.
In the meantime, since last podcast, Tuttle and I traveled down to San Antonio for Cats Fest 3, biggest, baddest, greatest cigar festival held in Texas. Anywhere. It's a phenomenal cigar festival.
Had a great time.
Run by Storm Bowen and his guys, part of the Cats group on Facebook that we talk about a lot here on the show.
And what I loved about it is that if you go, you get to be up close with a lot of cigar personalities and industry personalities. It was just a great time. I learned so much just by going there, and not even in the official festival, but just hanging out and talking with these guys.
They were so accessible. We did get a chance to talk to a lot of guys. Storm had asked us to come down there and do some interviews, which are now up on our YouTube page. I guess a little over half a dozen interviews with different manufacturers and industry folk. But yeah, some of the greatest moments and the greatest conversations were off camera. We got to meet Steve Sacca, the father of the Liga 9 Privada, our favorite cigar.
Yeah, and that dude was like a walking fount of information.
Yeah, it took us a couple hours afterwards just kind of digest everything he laid on us in like a 30-minute conversation. But we actually, through Tuesday night, we got to talk to Juan Martinez of Hoyt in Nicaragua.
That dude is one smooth operator.
Man, he was full of stuff. And then, you know, a bunch of other guys.
We also got from Southern Draw.
Robert Holt from Southern Draw.
Awesome guy. Had a great time with him.
Great talk with him. And that night, we drank moonshine with him back at the hotel.
Yeah.
And smoked his cigars. And let me tell you, Southern Draw is a phenomenal cigar. Was it the, I'm going to say it wrong, the Kudzu?
Kudzu.
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 They're making fun of me the way I said it. I guess it's, how do you say Kudzu? Kudzu. Do you know what Kudzu is?
Yes.
Oh, of course you do. I said Kudzu, I think, when he first gave it to me. Everybody got a good laugh. But check out Southern Draw. And he's talked about coming up. He's the one that talked about coming up here to the pub and doing something.
First guess.
He's Austin-based. And really, really cool guy. He and his wife run it. It's a family-owned business and a really phenomenal smoke, too. The Firethorn was the good one, too.
Yeah, Firethorn, the Quick Draw. They're
good. So, anyway, we had a really good time. Check out YouTube for the clips. But, you know, it was torrential rains pretty much the entire weekend. But
yeah.
That did not stop people from having a blast.
Got to meet Sam from Drew Estate. And I love
Sam Morales.
I love talking to that guy because he's got a tech background or just, you know, elbows deep in tech. And so that's kind of what I do in the marketing agency, and it was great talking shop with him.
Yeah, really good guy, Sam Morales. He told us a lot about the Drew Diplomat program. So check out the clips. I will say, the second night, Saturday night, we were there. We were going to go to our little Mexican restaurant we always go to down there, and the weather just wasn't permitting. So we just drove right next door to the hotel to this tap room.
Yeah, it's like Brick Oven or Brick House,
Brick something tap room. It was a chain.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now that I'm an IPA lover, you know, I checked out their IPAs and Cody style. Walk in and start, you know, so I'm like, all right, you know, they only had one. I was like, I guess we're stuck here because of the lightning and tornadoes. So got a 512 IPA, which was nice.
What is this, the Midwest?
Right. And then I sit down and I see they actually had like 40 million beers on tap.
Yeah, they actually had quite a
bit. So I revisited the Chupacabra.
Yeah.
But then Tuttle and I saw they had a Firkin on the menu.
Yeah. Yeah.
An in-house Firkin was one of their signature beers. We talked about the Firkin on last week's show. They did one here at the pub. It's where they let the aging process continue in the keg or the cask. And then you basically, they add spices and stuff to the beers. And they break it open with a hammer. And it was the most
boring.
He couldn't even finish his.
Yeah.
It tasted like air and clouds.
Now keep in mind, I'll finish Bud Light. I'll finish Keystone. Yeah. I'll finish Coors. I'll finish all those stuff that everybody makes fun of because my East Texas roots. You're damn right. That's dankalicious. But I could not finish that.
On the other hand, I just took a sip of tonight's beer, and we're not in for a
this is not
San Antonio Firkin here.
That's right.
That was Firkin awful. This is Firkin awesome.
There's none of that putting on airs with a good 2009-2010 Steel Reserve spiked punch.
That's no Firkin joke.
That is no Firkin joke.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers come correct.
Yeah. Well, if they want to say something, go Firk themselves.
Yeah. Can we Firkin move on?
We can Firkin move on. Tonight's cigar, let's get right to it. Tonight's cigar, and I want to get to it quick because they are Robusto, and we always joke about all we ever get to do on the show. Go slow, boys. Go slow because
I'll be through with it in 10 minutes.
This is...
I'm already done.
Damn it. Why did I... I should have... Cody's done. Tuttle's putting his out in the ashtray. The Flor de Oliva 10th Anniversary Robusto. A little bit of history. Way back in 2004, if you can remember back then.
No.
Were we doing podcasts back then?
It seems like it.
Yeah, but I don't think so.
No.
Oliva celebrated their 10th anniversary with the release of this cigar. Atlantic Cigar Company, who I buy, the online retailer, I buy a lot of sticks from. They're really good folks, and they stored a bunch of them away, and earlier this year, I guess, they would start releasing them in bundles of 10, and I grabbed them. Why did I grab them? Why is this such a big deal? Because if we've mentioned on the show before, the Flor de Oliva is all three of ours cheap bundle stick of choice.
Yeah.
Made by a great company. Oliva does a lot of high-end smokes. Most of their stuff is, you know, mid to high price points, but they do these bundle sticks. Bundles of 20.
And they're good
sticks. We call it budget stick, but it's long filler. It's not short filler. It's a long filler cigar. Cody and I buy up the Sumatra wrapped ones.
Yeah.
I think I have a whole area in my tower humidor just full of our.
Yeah.
When they're on sale, we just stock up. It's just a phenomenal cheap $2, $3 cigar.
And I usually go for the Maduro.
And Tuttle buys up the Maduros like crazy. So when I saw these and I saw that they, you know, released these to commemorate their 10th anniversary, I was like, well, shit. One day, maybe we'll have our 10th episode. This is before we started the show. I didn't know if, you know, we'd throw.
Yeah, it just dawned on me that that's why we're doing this.
That's why we're doing it. 10. It's our 10th episode. This is the 10-year anniversary of Florida Oliva.
It's interesting that it's in that price range because it reminds me of not long ago I had a Ashton Robusto, and it's similar, which is about, the Robusto still was about a $7 or $8
cigar. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, the price point is deceiving on the low side of the Oliva, the Florida Olivas. I mean, it's a really great smoke, and I think you took the band off it and gave it to some folks, they probably guess it was three times as much as it is.
I think so.
So we're all big fans. So I wanted to do it. You know, I want to do it for that reason. Plus, Oliva. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Master Blends. I know you're a big fan of the Cane series, F series.
Canes, yeah, pound for pound. I think it's one of the best cigars I've smoked.
Our buddy Rev, I think, introduced us to those at the first Cats Fest. He introduced me to the Milanio V series at your wedding at the reception. He gave me one of those. It blew me away. It's just, after Drew Estate, in Hoya de Nicaragua, I probably smoked more Oliva. And I'm saying Oliva and Oliva. I'm not quite sure how.
Somebody will
correct it. But
they always do.
I smoke more. That's probably my third, in ranking order of cigars I smoke, my third favorite.
Yeah.
And so I grabbed these up. Here's the kicker, boys. This was aged since 2004 at Atlantic Cigar Company. So now we're going on, you know, this is good 11. It's got at least 11 years of age on this cigar. And then I've had them, you know.
Wait,
for
what
six
year
months.
Is it now?
Oh, God. You have somewhere to be, don't you?
Oh, Jesus.
I missed so many birthdays.
My cat's dead.
Take a minute.
Clinton's still president, right?
Oh, God. It's composed of Nicaraguan binder and filler. It features a really pretty light Ecuadorian wrapper. The color is described as a Colorado Claro.
Aikman's still the quarterback for the Cowboys, right?
We'll talk later. Atlantic says these are going to deliver a, ready for this, Yax? Mild, creamy, smooth smoke. So we'll just see about that. Tonight we're smoking the 5x50 Robusto, which was the only one available when I bought these up. I purchased 2 10-packs of these. It was one of their specials for $26 a pop. So we're looking at $2.50 a stick for the 10-year.
Yeah.
I mean, for a 10-year age.
Yeah,
Oliva stick for $2.50 a stick. I mean, that's bananas. So that's what we're smoking, guys. And I got to tell you, the first few puffs here, it's creamy and it's smooth. What do you guys think?
I'd have to agree.
I just like hearing you say creamy and smooth, but I'm enjoying it.
Look at that burn line.
Oliva's always been well constructed.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Still a little concerned that it's 2015, but I'll deal with it. I'll cope.
So we'll get back to the cigar. It's a special cigar. It's definitely the oldest cigar we've smoked on the show. Maybe some of the older cigar I've smoked, period.
Yeah.
I don't smoke a lot of really age. So let's if any guys, as if I don't jump back to it quick enough, you guys have a thought about it, let me know.
Yeah.
Cody Soros. Tell us a little bit about the Yakisaurus Rex. Tell us a little bit about the beer tonight.
It is the Dankosaurus. Dankosaurus IPA, Cedar Creek Brewery out of Seven Points, Texas.
Where is Seven Points? I probably asked you this last time we did a Cedar Creek beer, but...
It's actually north of us towards Dallas.
Ugh. Nothing good comes out of North Texas.
No, sir.
Where do you live?
How was your drive down, Mitzi?
Not bad, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Who was it? The Spinning Mule was the other one we had.
Yeah, the Spinning Mule Porter.
That was the one we weren't too.
Oh,
big
they of, made the they made the Spinning Mule.
They made, that was our
yeah,
one.
That wasn't my. I wasn't a.
That
fan.
Was a. That was one we paired with the Drew Estate Smoking Monks, and we weren't sure if it was. in those situations, like, was it the smoke? Was it the beer? We just can. I can tell you off the bat, the first few sips, though, this is.
This one, they actually used a. Or by their own accounts, they used an experimental hop. I don't know the name of it. It is
the 05256.
Thank you.
Experimental hop. Which I was a big fan of the 05255 experimental hop. So
I thought the experimental hop was some dance kids did back in the 50s.
I believe that's what got Kevin Bacon killed in Footloose.
The experimental hop?
Yeah, I think he tried to bring the experimental hop, and that's why those parents slit his throat. I never saw the movie. Am I off
base on that? No, you're right on.
Okay.
You were describing it more accurately.
That John Lithgow was one son of a bitch,
man.
Oh, man.
You give him a straight razor and he's on.
All those kids wanted to do was dance.
He ain't going to have none of it.
I was all for it. I was on the parents' side.
You would be.
You know what dancing leads to, boys?
Drinking beer.
Fornication.
Fornication.
I liked it better when I was drinking beer.
Until you have a child.
Until
you have a child.
Oh, good Lord, not this again.
Tell us more about the Dankosaurus.
It is...
Please, anything to...
has a ABV of 6.5, and they obviously are saying that it is just chock full of hops, but they only have give it an IBU of around 70.
Yeah.
That's weird, right?
Yeah,
it's not a kick in your, kicking the balls.
I get a lot of cream out of it.
Yeah, they're saying it's...
Easy, Nancy.
Sorry.
Very I know it's, citrus.
Heavy. I know it's been 10 years.
That's what I'm detecting is I'm getting a lot of citrus.
A lot
flavors.
Of peach.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of peach right off the sip. Like, that was the first thing I got was the peach. But there's also a maltiness there.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what I'm focusing in on.
Maltiness?
Is that maltiness. I'll tell you right now, that first sip that you had or that first drink I had was just like, oh. That's why I was surprised that it was Cedar Creek. I was kind of disappointed with the spinning mule, and then I'm not disappointed in the Dankosaurus.
No,
so it's Dankalicious.
I did see on their website when I was looking into it.
Danktastic.
This is one of the few beers that we actually picked, and it was still here. Is it a regular? It's always kind of on tap. Or?
We've been having it here the last few.
Okay, well, this lucked out because I research a beer and I get here and it's gone, and we got to.
Is the Dankosaurus that shark-like creature that's going to be in Jurassic World?
No, that's Danktopus.
That's Danktopus. Yes. Okay.
The website said it was best enjoyed with spicy food and pungent cheese.
Oh, my God.
Of which we have none. So what I did was I asked Mincy not to change his underpants for 2 weeks.
I ate a bunch of spicy food, and I'll be making some pungent cheese later.
That's why the beer's going down great.
So I think we're in good hands.
Yeah, so I like it.
So who knows with those crazy scientists with their 0525.
I will say this, because... We learned at Cat's Fest there's some fibbing going on and some...
let's not name names on who told us this.
I'm not going to, but there was some, fibbing going on.
It was interesting. We were discussing with a cigar manufacturer.
That John Denver's full of shit, man.
John Denver is full of shit.
No, we were discussing with a cigar manufacturer, the guy who he works with in his factory. And this could be anybody. We talked to him, a dozen of these guys. But we're talking about wrappers, and I was like, oh, I want to try that. It's got the Oscuro wrapper that I'm a big fan of. He's like, no, not really. It's like, that's what they tell you, but it doesn't really have an Oscuro wrapper. And I'm like, why do they do that? He's like, well, they don't want to reveal their blends.
They don't want another competition.
You know, if the cigar has told you exactly what the filler, the binder, and all that was every single time, and it became a huge success, they're basically giving away their trade secrets, and everybody else would be going that. So it's like, no, they'll mix it up and they'll tell you stuff. So what you're actually smoking may in fact not be anywhere near what you're smoking.
Yeah.
Are you saying that might apply to the craft beer world?
Yeah, I have a problem with that.
Are you saying this might be the 05246 mystery hop?
Yeah, I'm just like, boys, you're not that big. You don't have to go mysterious on this thing. Just make a good beer and put it out there. And if people copy it, make a big deal saying, hey, they copied our deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, just stand on your work. You don't have to go, oh, this is experimental blend, 3/4 Sharon Punch. I don't even know what Sharon Punch is, but I don't want to fucking drink it.
Well, the stuff I'm working on that I'm mixing up in my bathtub is pretty experimental.
I think if this was the 05246, I would know it.
I just, if they're lying about what's in it, they could be really lying about what's in it, and I really don't like that.
I don't necessarily think they're lying about it. I just think there's not a name for it because
I don't. Shades of gray, man. Shades of gray.
But we're talking about hops here. This is one strain of hop that they just gave a numerical.
The hop growers are trying to create new blends because with the American scene for
fucking
IPA,
Monsanto, they won't let them.
Well, maybe.
I accidentally knocked over a bottle of my Tenactin for athlete's foot into the bathtub. That kind of gave it a little bit of an extra kick.
Look at the Amarillo hops. Was it the Chupa hop?
Mm-hmm.
Amarillo hops. They're trying new things. They're trying to grow in places that probably have never been involved with beer, you know, hops. And I don't have a problem with them giving a numerical thing to it if it doesn't have a name. If you look at test cigars, look at Drew Estate when they start rolling a new cigar. Each one has a white band on it with a numerical code on it. That's all this is.
Yeah,
it's just for their internal purposes.
All right, but if it comes out that this is actually the number 54, I'm gonna be
the
pissed.
0-5-4-2-6.
I'm gonna be so pissed. Don't lie to me.
I'll feel bad because I'm vouching for them here.
Yeah,
I'm not a sucker. I'm
protecting the American consumer.
He's the Ralph Nader of drunken podcasts.
It's not a bad title.
You can use that if you want.
Okay, I will. I'll change it on the website.
Well, first few sips, very good.
Yes.
Much better than the spinning wheel. Was spinning wheel porter, right?
Yeah, it was porter.
Yeah.
I enjoy spinning wheel, but I think it was the pairing.
You think it was the pairing?
I think the cigar mixed with that. Just those two weren't mixing.
Well, I thought when
Cody... But of course, that was supposed to be a cigar made for a porter.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the one that we... It kind of baffled us.
When Cody mentioned the Dankosaurus, and I knew we were going to be doing these 10-year anniversary, I was like, you know what, this is a good chance to see how a lighter smoke will play up against a... I knew the Dankosaurus was supposed to be real citrusy. I thought it might be nice, and so far I think it is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not too shabby so far. So we'll get back to the cigar and the beer. Tonight, like I said, I wanted to approach there's a lot of zombie talk. You know, it's a big field to talk about, a big field of discovery, the zombie genre. And the fact the first one we did was Maggie with Schwarzenegger. It was such a different zombie movie. It was a drama, a little character study, a little slice of life art film that we all kind of dug.
Yeah, really.
I thought it might be fun to do the flip side of the coin and do something...
It was still a little slice of life. Whose life? I don't know.
It was a little slice of life. Bitches.
Oh.
So, we don't want to do films. It'd be easy for us to do Dawn of the Dead or Return of the Living Dead or stuff we've seen a million gazillion times. So, you know, last week Cody and I looked at Netflix down in the corner, No Hope, and what's new out there in the zombie world that looks somewhat... You know, there's a million straight-to-video zombie every week they put out new ones.
Yeah.
Most of them have either Danny Trejo or Ving Rhames in it, and it's...
Most of the good ones.
Yay, we both looked like, hey, there's Zombievers.
Zombievers.
And I had heard of Zombievers. I'd sent Mincy a trailer a couple months ago. I'd seen it.
With a name like Zombievers.
I like beavers. I like zombies.
Who doesn't like beavers?
Well, if there's nothing this film... There's definitely a plethora of beaver jokes and innuendos.
It did not disappoint.
In the sexual innuendos.
Filthy hairy beavers!
Come here, you filthy hairy bastards!
The beaver just chewed right through him.
We'll have a lot of those. So here we are, boys, with Zombievers, 2014 Zombievers. We were talking before the show what a high it was doing Maggie. When we get engaged with the film, we go off, we talk.
It just
gets us jacked and pumped up to be in love with something. This wasn't that experience.
No.
I almost called it an audible before I watched it. I wanted to change films. God, I wish I had now. But here we are, and we're gonna help each other through it. That's what friends do. We help each other through zombievers.
I was about to say, as long as Chelsea and Nada follow Fritz's advice and bring another round, we'll get through it.
Perhaps it's because I didn't see Maggie. And
no, I love zombievers.
I've seen so many movies like this. It's called Zombievers. It's basically... I'm not saying it's as far as what you're getting into, you know, if you're not interested in something called Sharknado, don't watch it. I mean,
which I'm fans of the Sharknado franchise. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed both of them.
So this to me is grade B schlock. I enjoyed it for what it was.
I should have. But I didn't.
I don't know where we want to get started at, but the main thing is I think that this could have been so much better if they had had, and maybe it was a limitation of the budget, if they had had some better actors, because that's really what ruined it for me.
Well, my biggest thing, and I'm going to start us off here at the beginning, but my biggest thing was...
I shouldn't say it ruined it for me. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
For the hour and 16 minutes running time that it was.
You're the one.
We begin tonight's journey with two medical waste transport guys driving through the countryside with a big truck full of medical hazardous materials. They're exchanging a lot of witty banter about taking dumps at friends' houses and sneaking up the house. And I think the other one was like some guy blew his friend or something. Like,
no, the one guy that's driving, who took me a while to figure out who he was, but he had been, the red-haired guy had been...
is Bill Burr, he's
heavy,
a comedian.
Heavy rotation on the Chappelle Show back when.
Yeah, Chappelle Show...
Did a ton of sketches on the Chappelle Show.
Oh, really?
Did he have a role in Breaking Bad as one of the henchmen?
I never saw an episode of Breaking Bad,
I thought that's where I recognized him.
He was on one of my favorite internet series, the Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee Seinfeld series. Seinfeld had him on there. It's like a 10-minute thing where Seinfeld drives around with these guys and takes them out for coffee. People he finds funny. And he was the least funny guy in four seasons of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, which I wanted to like the guy because he took Seinfeld to a cigar shop and they smoked stogies.
Well,
I knew Seinfeld.
You gotta like
him. I knew Seinfeld liked stogies. So, but he took Seinfeld to a cigar shop, and but the guy was just so unfunny.
Yeah.
I didn't know he acted before. I thought he was just a stand-up.
Kind of like that dude on The Bachelor. Bachelorette. I don't know. I've looked
over. I didn't watch it this week. Don't say anything.
No, this is like 2 weeks ago, man.
From the Chappelle Show, he was the guy that there was one sketch where they do the World Series of Dice. He's the announcer when they're like, "We're coming to you live from the Marcy Projects, the World Series of Dice." It was him and another guy.
Okay.
There's also one where they do like a reverse court case where the rich white industrialist guy gets shot, or he they arrest him, and like they bring him into court, and they're like, "You've been convicted by a jury of your peers," and they show all these black guys sitting there, and it was a reverse racism thing. He was the cop that like goes in and arrests the guy. He did a couple others. Did you recognize who the other guy was?
That's who. It felt like I should have, but I didn't.
If anybody was going to recognize him, it would be you. It was the ladies' sex symbol extraordinaire musician, John Mayer.
That was him. Yeah, that was him heavily.
I think they put a fake mustache on him.
Yeah.
I'm not a John Mayer dude.
The mullet wig. And
the joke that the other guy says, he's saying like, I think that they figured, oh, these guys are just so funny, we'll just tell them to say whatever.
No, I mean, we have John Mayer here. The guy is hilarious. Let's just open our movie with him riffing.
Well, the other guy says, like, he says, "I dated a guy for a week once. It was just so much easier, you know."
I will say that.
Oh, but the sucking dick part was hard. It was like we ate pizza together and watched movies, but then eventually I had to blow the guy. And it was just I knew that if that's your first scene, is these two.
They really thought that was funny.
Oh yeah, you could tell throughout the movie that these writers were fucking.
Well, that was kind of after that first. It gets past that opening. I had to stop it. I had to go look up the movie. Like, who wrote this? And looking,
it's funny you mention that. The first thing I did after the next scene introducing the girls.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, this is an all male writing effort.
Yeah, yeah,
because girls never talk like this, but I could see where a bunch of tool dudes would think this is how they talk about it. And sure enough, it was like three dudes wrote the thing.
Yeah.
and they had never written anything before.
And or so you could totally, you could kind of tell.
So, not to get too ahead of ourselves, let me order.
Bring another round. Bring another round. No, as I thought that I didn't think it was that bad of a
Well, they're exchanging this banter, and they hit a deer, and one of their has which looks a lot like a keg of beer.
Yeah,
silver.
It does.
Silver container rolls down into the river, I guess.
Was this Dawn of the Dead 2?
Yeah, right. And rolls down the river and ends up at this beaver dam.
But I like the fact that it after they show you this it going through rapids, it
oh yeah,
floating through everything, and then it slowly, gently comes to a nice stands
kind of like the baby at the beginning of Willow. It just goes down the river,
and then it decides to explode.
I will say this though, I like the opening credit sequence. It kind of had a Scooby Doo feel to it.
Yeah.
We follow the keg of hazmat materials flowing down the rivers. But there was these animated like trees falling
because title,
beavers
title
are gnawing.
Wasn't bad.
Beavers gnawing at it, and you see like the little teenagers running around in cartoon form. It was kind of interesting. It was kind of.
Yeah, it wasn't bad
for this wasn't low budget. I think this thing had some money.
I think so because the production value on it was pretty good.
Yeah, but the opening credits was fine. But yeah, it finally gets to this. We end up when they show directed by that it rolls into this beaver dam and it just springs a hole and starts shooting green goo, Menzies style. All over this beaver dam. Did I say that?
You did.
I'm just teasing.
No, it's not.
Right. The idea that I could ever shoot green goo at a beaver dam is just outside the realm of possibility.
Well, it is in Nevada.
You told me last week that you...
I'm just saying...
That was off the podcast.
Hey, be
that
quiet.
That was off the podcast.
Be quiet. We don't need another incident like Nevada.
There's a statute of limitations on that.
There's never a statute of limitations for shooting green goo and beating it down.
We're going to talk a lot
not
about
morally, my friend.
Once again, is Clinton still not the president?
green goo spewing aside, which is when I wrote my own wedding vows, that was one of the opening lines I used. We join up with three randy female college girls. I know they're Randy from the Netflix synopsis. It says Randy college kids. And coincidentally, I only watch Randy teens in movies, so this worked.
No, keep going.
So Mary, Zoe, and Jen are our three heroines. I could have used some heroin.
They might have been on heroin. I liked Zoe.
Zoe was the one that took her top off.
Kind of looked like Daniel Harris and walks around topless most of the time.
The one that took our top off, yeah. But we're made very clear, thanks, that they are going away for the weekend because Mary has been, not Mary, Jen has been cheated on by her boyfriend.
Man, that waitress is hideous. Oh, it's Tuttle.
I don't want to say anything about your wait staff here, but
Jesus
oh, God,
Christ.
It's Tuttle. Nada will be here soon. So the girls are going away into the woods for the weekend because one of them has been recently cheated on by her boyfriend, Jen, the blonde. And they're having a no texting, no boys policy on this weekend as they drive their Prius into the thick bush of woods. I'm sorry, no texting, bitches!
No texting, bitches!
Again, I'm immediately like, I look on IMDb.
Yeah,
like,
the dialogue was
this is male
horrible.
Writers. This is how guys living out in LA, like, all right, we're writing chicks.
Please tell me they were like in their 20s, maybe early 30s.
I don't think so.
No, actually, these guys have the director, who is also one of the.
They're TV guys.
They're TV guys. He most notably wrote for The Man Show.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Carson
this
Day
was
like late night with late night TV.
This was written by Matt Quaid and John Nancy.
Matt Quaid and John Mayonnaise wrote this.
It was pretty bad. I mean, it was
I just want to throw this real quick story in, and I'm probably if any time in this discussion night I can think of another story that doesn't have to do with zombievers, I'm gonna do it because I guarantee you it'll be more entertaining than talking about zombievers. One time, Mincy and I are senior year in high school.
Oh boy, tell the story and I'll try to remember when it was.
John Mayonnaise.
Yeah, that was with security guard?
Yeah. Elvis.
Yeah, but it was a John Manise.
A John Manise. I'm here. We got busted for something, or you got busted. It was like coming in, not busted. It was like coming in late,
coming in late
lunch
from lunch
or something.
And he called the principal and he said,
his walkie-talkie calling. He was like, yeah, I got a John Mayonnaise here.
Oh,
like,
no, here's what happened.
John Manise.
He asked for my name and I said, John Menz. And he goes, John Manise? And then what happened after that, where the mayonnaise came from, was we were watching a video in Mr. Wilson's government economics class, and they said it was from a Kentucky Fried Chicken was in Japan, and they said Kentucky Fried Chinisiwa. And so then it happened the same day after the John Manise, and so I believe it was Jenny who came up with John Manisiwa.
And we got John Mayonnaise somehow.
And then I think they actually wrote that like when you went to pick up your cap and gown. Again, it was like it was John like, Manisi.
John Manisiwa?
So, anyways.
Anyway. So we're with these three girls. They have a no texting, no boys.
There were no lasting repercussions on that at all.
No. No. What are you on, your 17th therapist at this point?
That's more like a baker's dozen.
No boys, no texting. These girls, the Jen has been hurt. She's been cheated on. They're going to get away to the woods to a family cabin. Bitches. And
did you notice how the actress playing Zoe, additionally to going topless, she seemed to break in and out of a southern accent? Depending
Zoe,
on,
you mean?
Yeah, white trash accent.
Zoe, that was the one who went topless.
Was she the one, as they're driving to the cabin in Ashwood, I don't know what
doing
state.
The dick pics?
Yeah.
Yep.
Her boyfriend sending her dick pics.
NSA loves that phone.
And they're flaccid dick pics. I didn't rewind it. Maybe I'm wrong. Weren't they like limp?
Yeah, 27 times he went back there. Just from different angles. Dim the lights in here.
No, staring at you
just research for
really
the podcast.
Staring.
Get a little more comfortable.
Did you guys not notice they were flaccid dick pics?
I breezed.
Was not
through.
Really paying attention to the dick pics.
Not that normally I wouldn't. It was just that.
Now, granted, when we meet these boys later, it's very clear that these are the kind of guys that would send dick pics.
Yeah,
correct.
They're dicks.
They
could send a picture of their face and it would be a dick pic.
Correct.
Those were three of the biggest douchebag characters ever. If it was
but
done intentionally,
the writers know how to write douchebag.
I think
guys.
The writers. I think the writers based those dudes on themselves.
That's the wheelhouse.
If it was done intentionally,
that was the wheelhouse. Let's just write these guys like we talk.
Yeah.
If it was done.
Hold on, I got to send some dick pics to my girlfriend. Hey, let's put that in the script. Should I get it hard?
No.
No,
just effort.
Just sag it out there like a windsock on a dead morning. Just snap a pic and send it to her. She'll love it. Awesome, Broseph. These guys were like Entourage if they were like more retarded.
Yeah.
Oh. That's an interesting
like
theory.
Like if the boys from Entourage got in a car wreck and like the tops of their heads were severed to where they lost
style?
Like that one lobe of the brain, they would be the dudes in this movie.
Wow, now see, I was thinking that maybe
I was thinking I really like these guys.
No. I hated them profusely, profoundly, in any other pro way you can be. I thought maybe it was done intentionally because I just couldn't wait to see these guys get ripped apart by zombievers.
No.
I don't think
we
got to
spend
that.
A lot of time with them before that.
We did, so you're probably right. They probably thought, let's make these guys like us. Total assholes.
Well, folks, I think you see where this is going. So the dick pics kind of threw me off because they actually showed like what seemed to be real dick in the thing, which maybe that was giving them some license. Like, hey, we're going to really show these girls.
Yeah.
You know, they really get dick pics. And
yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, after rewinding 20 times, I couldn't...
I think Kate fixated on the dick pics a little longer than the rest of us.
That's about as entertaining as the rest of the movie.
We cut away at... I'd rather look at dick pics all night than watch Zombievers again. but
this sucks because we actually got tweeted back by the Zombiever movies. They tweeted
on the way
us
up
back.
Here. Tuttle tweeted that we're going to be reviewing Zombievers, and the makers of the film tweeted back like, "Hey, we got a drinking game you guys should do just for this. Like every time they say Zombiever, do a shot. Every time you're scared, you have a jump scare. Well, I would never." Well, that never happened.
With the people who actually made the movie?
Yes. Yeah. And I love that. I respect the hell out of that. And I wish everybody had that kind of engagement because it wasn't a couple of hours since I had shot that out there.
Look.
But I'm sorry. It doesn't redeem Zombievers.
It doesn't make... That one tweet does not wrong a million... Does not right a million wrongs. So they're driving out to the cabin. There's a quick shot of a young guy, young teenage boy, fishing. And that's our first, I'd say, kill scene, but really it's
you
just...
You don't see any.
It's a beaver POV. It is. You see a, you see the kid from the beaver POV.
We should have just watched a movie called Beaver POV.
Well, I'm going to make a film now called Beaver POV.
The ZBPOV?
And he gets killed, but you don't see any blood. There's no beaver.
Yeah. It was very disappointing. There was no beaver.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it. 10 minutes
in the film,
we've
still got no beaver.
What's the point of having like a 12-year-old kid who's wearing a hat that says number one dad?
Those guys thought, this is hilarious. We'll put a number one dad hat on this teenage kid. How are we going to show him getting killed? We won't.
Because they are in the country, though.
We'll just keep it on the beaver POV.
It'll be like Jaws. We're like Spielberg. But
as the girls get to the cabin, their banter is nothing but vibrator and tampon jokes.
Yeah.
And small tit jokes. And like everything that only these douchebags...
We don't know what they talk about when they're on their own.
I know it's not this. I know if I threw Rebecca and Jennifer and Jenny in a car and sent them on their way, Jenny would not be busting on somebody's small titties, and they would be like, hey, can I get a charger in the back seat? What, for your vibrator? Bitch! That doesn't happen!
Okay, fine. I've only ever known the touch of a skank. Are you happy? Fuck you guys.
Oh, God. This is going to be one of those shows.
Friendships
will crumble.
Therapist number 13.
Hey, I'm sorry, Mincy bitches.
Well, they either think, the writers at this
beer
point...
Beer is not the only thing that's bitter tonight.
My phone. I'm going to text you a little picture or something.
Did you hear Cody? Say it again, Cody.
Listen, apparently the beer is not the only thing that's bitter tonight.
Oh, yeah? Take this, Tuttle.
Oh, God. Mincy is taking dick pics as we film the podcast.
Excuse me.
Show you a flaccid cock.
Wait, Mincy.
Ooh, hey. Do you want me to pass this around?
Could you forward it to me, please?
Okay. Oh, it's going to get passed around.
As they're talking about their vibrators and their small titties, I can't help but think this is one of two scenarios. The writers either think, one, this is the norm. Like, this is how girls really talk. We're nailing this. We are nailing. Or they think it's hilarious shit that, like, we're going to have people in stitches.
Okay. Are we going too hard on these guys? Maybe they think that, all right, look, the audience, the core demo that's going to watch this is young males. Fuck it. This isn't what girls really talk about, but this is what young males fantasize about.
This is something that people watch when they're drunk or high.
That's why I'm kind of thinking about.
I think they know their audience.
Yeah.
They played right to it.
I think so, because
unfortunately, we're not their audience.
Their audience is intended for the guys who send dick pics.
No.
I mean, we're...
No.
I think
audience for a movie called Zombievers. Your audience.
You don't send dick pics, though.
You're just coming off the high of having watched Maggie... Being full of culture.
Hey, we were rough on Maggie, too.
No, we weren't.
First-time film stuff.
That was a
love fest. We called him on a lot of first-time filmmakers.
Yeah, but we also forgave him.
We're fair. But these guys...
I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I think that they were, let's write to what that 14-year-old would do.
American Pie wrote to what they thought teenage boys would do it, but they did it with honesty. They did it with some intelligence.
Yeah.
And they made a fucking classic film. Probably the same budget this piece of shit had.
I doubt it. I think they had more money than this.
Okay. Well, still, dialogue doesn't cost anything. Doesn't cost anything.
I don't think you compare American Pie to Zombievers.
You could do Zombievers.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you.
You could
do
Zombievers with some better dialogue. And actually, you would care about these people somewhat, and it would be a totally different film.
Yeah, but
if you wanted people to care about your characters,
yeah,
I just don't think they were any good. Yeah. I don't think it was a matter of this is how girls talk or we think this is funny. I just don't think they were any good. But
who was any good?
The writers and the actors,
and anybody.
Hey, but the camera crew and the production crew were pretty damn good.
I think it was.
Come on, those Zombievers.
I'm with those you. You know, puppet, you know that Zorro Beavers is something that's made for me also. But there's these types of movies are they are what they are. Some of them are better than others.
Well,
I mean, what's the difference between a Zombiever and an Up the Creek?
Let me start at the beginning.
Do you want to throw him over the balcony? Or
Swamp Toss.
Swamp Toss. There is...
Let him forward me those Mincy dick pics first, then throw him over the balcony.
There are 10,000 miles difference between those two movies.
Up the Creek came from a place of honesty and fun and capturing a group... At what point did the girls in Up the Creek, when we went to the female cabin, were they talking about how small their tits were?
No, or this is why we should never have done this movie. It's being way too overanalyzed.
Yeah, I think so. I think we are kind of starting to overanalyze it a little bit.
Cody and I are talking about when it can be done good.
Remember the hot tub scene? When
if you get $1 million to make a movie, make a $1 million movie.
They were talking about having sex. They get to the bar, and the first thing that they want to do in Up the Creek when the girls get to the bar is find a guy to hook up and have sex with. They didn't get as lewd as Zombievers did because you're talking 20 years difference. And then before 20 years before Up the Creek,
30,
they were barely kissing on screen. I cannot believe I just cut Zombiever slack.
Well, we're just getting started. So they get to the cabin. I'm gonna try to keep us on course here.
I think I'm kind of with.
And
you.
I think other than the kick and kill, that's the first time we really get the Beaver POV.
Yeah.
Because while they're talking to the neighbor lady. The Beaver POV is through the bushes. Beaver POV.
I'm going to laugh every time you say that.
Beaver POV through the bushes. How great is that? But it's watching them. The beavers are infected, and they're watching. Beaver POV. Doesn't it remind you when I say beaver? Remember those old pornos where the guy would wear those thick, dark-rimmed glasses with, like, a camera in the middle? And he'd go up to, like, chicks in the food court at the mall and try to, like, proposition them to, like, go in the bathroom and blow them? He's like...
That wasn't me.
What the hell kind of movies were you watching, man?
It wasn't me at all. This is Jason on the podcast. That wasn't me.
No, nothing?
I obviously do.
Leaving you out there, brother.
Frat House Vikings, Volume 7.
They check into the cabin. It's in good shape. Everything is...
Wait a second. Was that you with the glasses?
All the board games are there on the shelf with all the pieces intact. Chinese checkers, all the marbles are there. They're not struggling here. It's a good cabin. And let's forget about that mall food court thing. I never appeared in any adult films.
There's nothing wrong if you had.
Well, what Mateo Strongo does in his own time is his own business.
And if he's going to play the pizza delivery guy in Frat House Gangbang Volume 7, an all-male movie that was released in 1996, that's his business.
Hey, the catering chick was female.
She wasn't in the movie. That was the catering chick. There wasn't like a role in the movie,
you
like
mean
catering
all male,
chick.
Like
actors.
Oh, yeah. It was a pizza movie. It was Sausage Fest. Gave a whole new meaning to the term stuff crust.
Oh, Lord.
Cade and I aren't proud of what we did to get through college.
Hey.
And the sad thing is we went to Sam Houston in North Texas.
Yeah, which really shouldn't have cost
us. Really shouldn't
have cost
us.
Really shouldn't have had to do that.
I think they're paying people to
deep,
go there now.
I think deep down we knew we didn't need to do that.
No.
John, you'll be playing Fraternity Initiate number 3, Chip.
I will say this, though. When they got into that cabin, did you guys notice the blonde Jen who's been damaged by the heartbreak of her... Boyfriend Jean, did you notice her ass cheeks hanging out of those jean shorts?
Yes.
She's pretty.
See, I'm saying something She's positive pretty. About Zombievers.
Yeah, she was pretty.
Those shorts were...
How many times did you rewind it?
Not as many as when he saw dicks.
Not as many as the dick pics, but...
Well, that was for research. I went...
It's for research. It's for research, Jack.
It's not like they're real dick pics, D. No, they were. Was that a real dick in those dick pics?
I have no idea. They're real dick pics, Jack.
Well, we can write back to them now because we've got the thing with those. Really.
Hey, they obviously respond quickly to tweets. Why don't you ask him,
hey, man, was
hey
that
whose
real...
dick were in those dick pics?
Was that your real dick?
Let's see if we can get a response here live on the podcast. Whose dick was in those dick pics? They'd be like...
You obviously have been not watching our movie at all.
You're homos, they're so, bitches.
They're so,
like frat boy stuff.
Their social media person is a girl who's going to be like, oh, God, none of this.
Anyway, those jean shorts were phenomenal. Let's not pull any punches here. So I'm saying something good. What do they do first thing they get to the cabin, these three chicks? Skinny dipping bitches. They go down to the lake. Every time we say bitches, I see Cody's ulcer act up. Oh, God.
It's just gas.
They go down to the river. They swim out to a raft that's anchored a little ways away. And they spot a dam. The very same dam that the biohazardous waste spewed all over. Menzies style. All of a sudden, a bear shows up. Just a real bear. It wasn't a CGI bear either. It was a real bear.
A real bear.
On the shore of the river, a huge grizzly bear shows up and starts waving its arms and whatnot. And they're like, oh, shit.
He just wanted to party. Waving his hands in the air.
I think at one point he grabbed his cell phone and took some bear dick pics. if you guys can find those, forward them to me as well. I'm compiling a coffee table book full of just dick pics that I want to talk to Random House about doing. I don't want to spill any beans.
Let me know if you need any liner notes written for that.
You know what? I would love some liner notes. If you could write a forward, Cody, if you could write an introduction. Todd, if you could write the epilogue.
The Tuesday Night Cigar Club presents you a coffee table book of dick pics.
Of dick pics.
By the way, we're supposed to have two drinks for every time we see the beaver POV.
Oh, do they actually reference the beaver POV in their drinking game?
Yes, they do.
Fantastic. You mentioned it like five times, so.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Nada.
Dankosaurus.
The Dankosaurus. How are you?
I'm good.
Anytime you see alcohol, take one drink.
Is that the rule?
Yep.
Oh, anytime you see them drink, you have to drink?
Or just you see alcohol. So I wonder
if they had infatuated by their light beer cans. Have you had the
Dankosaurus? I wanted to try the light beer.
Yeah, here's the kicker. Anytime someone says beaver, take a drink.
Beaver.
Yeah, it is. Very it's peachy, really
very,
good.
Very citrusy, very peachy.
For IPA, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of citrus going on.
Yeah, Dankosaurus is rocking it.
Yeah, not a lot of bitterness.
I think shall we do that? Take a drink every time one of us mentions beavers?
Oh, God.
Yes.
Okay.
Nod is drinking my entire beer now. She's a fan. Not an IPA fan, but she likes the Dankosaurus.
That should
be noted.
Yeah,
Tuttle the same. How you
yeah,
feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind IPAs, but I like this. I like it a lot. It's good.
I know. Normally, I can't stand IPAs.
Yeah,
I'm like gagging.
Yeah, it's not that bitter. It's not that.
It doesn't make my jaw feel like flips inside out.
Exactly.
Well done, Cedar Creek. You've won over two non-IPA converts to me.
Yeah.
So that should be noted. Tuttle, if you could subtitle everything Nod is saying on the YouTube clips, that'd be great.
Are you guys doing okay? Another
round, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
In these cool glasses.
Yes, I know. Cool. They have it too.
So the bear shows up, but he's scared away quickly.
By David Keith.
By a shotgun blast. It is not David Keith.
Oh.
Rex Lynn.
Smith, well, the character's name is Smith with a Y.
Yeah, which would be Smythe.
He's like, what are you girls doing out here? He's like, oh, we're looking for beavers. Well, hell, who isn't? Who is this guy?
Rex Lynn. Recognize him from, he was in Cliffhanger.
I was going to say, was he the shiesty guy that got him, the bad guys, their score in Cliffhanger?
Yeah, it was a fake, it was like a fake federal agent.
Yeah. That's what I knew him from.
He was also the head detective in CSI Miami.
I didn't see that one.
I guarantee if you look him up, you're going to see he's been in a bunch
of
movies.
Like a regular gig on CSI Miami?
I don't know why, he kind of looked like David Keith to me.
If you look him up, he'll have been in a ton of movies you've seen.
Why are you watching CSI Miami?
I can watch TV.
It's better than CSI Poughkeepsie. That show sucks.
Is that the one with David Caruso?
It's not as bad as CSI Lubbock.
Actually, I'd rather you watch that than the other ones. I like Caruso.
Where'd this beer come from? It's better than CSI 7 Points.
I think he gets a bad rap. Right?
Always a fan.
I would have liked to see David Caruso in Zombievers.
I kind of like this dude.
He actually probably would have made it better.
In his Kiss of Death role? These Zombievers are right here, right now.
I'm talking to the Zombievers right here, right now.
You want something, you talk to me.
I am taking up atoms and materials in this space.
The matter that makes up my body is right here in front of these Zombievers. I just said it, Tuttle. Drink.
Oh, no. We don't have beers.
But I didn't mind this guy.
You didn't like him?
No, I didn't mind him.
Oh, you didn't
mind him. I didn't like the whole... because going back to, maybe I am starting to analyze this thing a little too much. I didn't like the number one dad thing because
that's what we do, man.
That's pretty much they're like, oh, this is the country. Well, don't stay away from movies like this. Inbred motherfuckers. That's a 13-year-old. Yeah, of course he's got a kid. That's what that happens.
Well, first of all, I don't want you guys to ever think, hey, we're overanalyzing this too much, because that's what we do.
Yeah, but sometimes you just have to let go and have fun with a movie, though.
You do. This isn't that movie. To me, it's not.
It's
what it was designed to be.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Zombievers, for Christ's sake.
All right, now let me ask you this.
It's not Gandhi.
In about another year, there's going to be Zombievers too.
No, there's going to be zombies.
Gandhi Beavers.
If you watch the last of it.
They're the worst Zombievers ever because they believe in nonviolent protest.
Can we make Gandhi Beavers?
Gandhi Beavers?
A Gandhi Beaver movie?
No. A beaver that starves itself.
I could wear those old thick rimmed glasses that I used to wear in the bathrooms at the food court. I mean,
beavers must be fed.
So this guy shows up and scares that bear away.
Just offended any Hindu audience that we had,
which is substantial. We have a big Hindu following.
Well, we might have. You ruined it.
Well, you ruined it.
Hindus and dwarves. Who's next?
Austinites, I offended them pretty good too.
I fucked those guys.
So anyway, there's another beaver POV drink. As they walk away, the guy tells him like,
"An hour from now, you and I are going to be like, it's the greatest movie Tuttle I've ever seen. Love Zombievers.
Why are you so hard on this movie?
Smith is the Schindler's List of zombie beaver movies."
Smith with a Y tells them they need to cover up. They shouldn't be flaunting their boobs
again,
and stuff.
It was the whole stereotypical country rural rube motherfucker.
He tells them to get lost, go back to their home and
stop riding my people like this.
How are these your people?
Country people.
You grew up in the country.
Yes. Grew up in East Texas. That's about as rural and backwoods as you get.
Do you have neighbors?
Yeah, actually we did.
Like within viewing distance?
Come on, you grow up in a town of 500, you're going to have neighbors.
You're going to dig around on Facebook and see some real pictures from Tuttle's teenage years. He's all this prep school kid from New York standing in front of the Empire State Building wearing an Armani jacket.
That's your homework. You dig up some shit on this guy. Because it's not adding up.
I'm actually busy looking up dick pics. So
everybody's his people. Everybody I shit on is like, hey, that's my people, damn it.
I didn't come back to that Austin night remark.
I think it came up with Maggie last week. Like, he had to burn his crops. Like, I can really understand where he's come from. Those are my people, those farmers.
What? I grew up. Oh, yeah.
You didn't have a farm. You had neighbors. You went to public school.
Everybody has public school. Where the fuck are
Tuttle's
they living
at? I threw my knapsack over my shoulder and hiked barefoot the 12 miles to the schoolhouse.
That's what he sounds like when he talks to you about this shit. Alright, so the girls...
Defending you, rural Texas.
He's the voice of rural America.
That's right. Bitches.
Bitches. So the girls are back at the cabin that night, and they're playing Would You Rather, which all girls do, I guess, when they're hanging out alone. God. It was like, would you rather... What was it? Never use a tampon again, or never use your... dildo again. That's what it was with the girls. There was what would you rather was the game, and they were like, would you rather never use lipstick or tampons again?
Yeah.
Which is such a male thing, like, what would these girls want? Like, what are the two most important things to girls? Tampons and lipstick. It was just so just...
And dick pictures.
And dick pics.
NSA's having a field day.
Do you guys want to play Would You Rather, bitches?
No.
Mincy.
Really. Eh, sure.
Would you rather slow dance to Cody in the middle of the O'Brien's dance floor to Journey's Faithfully for 30 minutes on repeat?
Only 30?
Or give Tuttle a foot job?
You know I'm going to take the slow dancing with Cody on that one. No offense to Tuttle, but...
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
So close. I can understand it, though. Cody's cuddly. Cody's cuddly. And who doesn't like Journey?
Okay. Well, after the podcast wraps up, are you ready to film that shit? Because we'll put it up on the website.
You want people to watch...
I guess we
need
to consult Cody at some point. He's involved in this, too.
I'm going to just go ahead and kill myself now.
After the slow dance, we'll kill ourselves. We'll just slowly slow dance out of the traffic.
First of all, on the cigar, I'm just about done.
Yeah, I want to get back to that because now we've established the bitches at the cabin and things kind of take off from there. Let's go back. Cody and Mincy are cashed.
It was good.
It was a quick little.
Like I said,
I tried going slow, but it was.
No, this was the only size they had. I can't stress.
But I will say this. Now we've been talking a lot, but it's lasted an hour. That's more than what a Robusto's designed for.
I can't stress this enough. If anyone listening, and I said this on the website too, if you're interested in us reviewing your smokes and submitting your smokes, we'd love nothing more. But the longer the Vitola, Churchill, or Toro even, we do talk for a long time.
Yeah.
So
this isn't your average one-hour podcast and you're done.
If you do submit Robustos, give us 10 of them. Yeah. Because we'll just double up on them, and we'll get it even.
If you're going to give us free cigars, just give us a whole shitload of them.
They will get smoked.
We'll send you some dick pics in return.
What do you guys think? Granted, it's a different wrapper and a different blend than our normal Flor de Libas, but any similarities? Any? What do you guys think?
I thought it was a little softer than the normal Libas that I get. But that's really about it.
I think maybe softer in flavor and just very mild as far as...
Yeah.
I thought it was really mild.
Yeah.
I thought it compared favorably to the light wrapper, Ashton.
I didn't really know any...
It had the same taste characteristics as the Flor de Oliva. It was just a little bit softer.
Well,
though.
The Flor de Oliva that we smoked, the Sumatra, is a very sweet, naturally sweet wrap cigar. So I don't get a lot of that...
It's weird because every now and then I'll go back to that Sumatra and, you know, for about 5-6 cigars out of that bundle, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is good. And then the sweetness kind of overtakes me. So then I like switching back to the Maduros.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you meant the cigar.
This is a bit softer. It doesn't have that sweet Sumatra profile to it, or it doesn't have that sweet Sumatra taste to it. And I like that because I could actually smoke
a lot
of these.
I also really appreciate the cigar. It's
here's what I will say:
a lot of very mild cigars, and this is a very mild cigar, don't offer a lot in the way of flavor.
Yeah,
you get that mild cigar,
and especially at this price point,
at this $2 price point. But not only is this mild and smooth, which we were promised. But I get a lot of flavor out of it.
I do. I agreed. And that's one thing that I definitely want to hammer home is the price point on this. A lot of times in the past, we've done cigars at around 8 to 10, you know, and up. This is... $2. You cannot beat. Every time... And that's one thing that we see over and over on the Cats board is, you know, what's a great budget cigar? What do you guys have a house cigars? Because, I'm sorry, I can't afford... I would love to... smoke League of Nines all the time. I would love to smoke premiums all the time. I can't afford it. So what do I have?
Sure.
These guys.
And we all do. Yeah. I mean, that's the nature. For everyone, when we meet up here on Tuesday nights, non-podcast nights,
right?
We will smoke typically a higher-end premium stick.
A couple of them even.
And then as the night rolls on and we start talking more and... you go to your second-tier sticks.
Yeah.
And the Flor de Oliva has been our second-tier stick.
It's been a go-to.
for years.
Yeah, it's in my humidor right now.
And I really like this stick.
I agree.
And, you know, maybe it's the age, because God knows.
That's probably what softened it up
a lot of cigars soften a lot, strength-wise, with age.
Yeah, that's probably
that's why they say our beloved Liga 9s, after that five-year aging period, you're going to start losing the flavor. You're going to lose the strength. They're not meant to be aged. It's not a Cuban product where the aging benefits it. It actually is detrimental to it.
Yeah. See, that's a big misconception. Everybody's like, oh, the older it ages, it's not wine. It doesn't get better with age.
Some do.
But some don't.
Some don't.
Like, and even like with some scotches, the higher you get, once you get past a certain point, then you're tasting more of the cask.
Like when you go to Minty's house, he's got the McCormick's 3-year scotch in a plastic squeeze bottle.
Which is badass.
The good thing about the squeeze bottle is you can take it with you on a nice walk in the afternoon.
Damn straight, bitches.
Get your exercise in and be drunk when you're done.
Hell yeah, bitches.
Oh, Christ.
Can I take a walk topless?
Please do, Tuttle. Please do. I feel like I owe you something after denying you that foot rub.
Thank you.
So they're settling in with their light beers. Very generic.
The generic label.
Light beer.
I did pause it to try
I
to
I did
see
pause.
It.
I was trying to see. I was like, I thought it was Pabst Blue Ribbon at first, which would have made it was a very Pabst kind of label, but no, just light, L-I-T-E beer.
So far, Zombievers has not tweeted back.
Okay, well, keep us posted.
All right.
They're probably writing a sequel. They're probably busy right now.
That's been picked up by Sci-Fi.
Zombievers 2, Zombieverin'.
Keep on Zombieverin'.
Keep on Zombieverin'. So all of a sudden, there's a pounding at the door. We knew this was coming. No girls sneak away for a weekend in the woods without some dudes showing up.
That's right.
They're scared, bitches. They're real scared.
They're so scared they open the front door.
They're so scared they just bust out the front door, topless.
I've got to go look outside because there's no telling what could be out there. Could be dangerous.
Could be that bear.
Let me go alone
could
with
be
that a...
Could be Mr. Smite.
Could be Smith with a Y.
Flashlight.
Yeah, could be Smith with a Y.
No, it's these three dickheads. They show up to crash the girls' weekend. One, for some reason, they're in their 20s. They're in college. One's still wearing his varsity
football
high school
jacket.
Football jacket.
Oh, that's the guy who leads, and you're introduced with him with a fart.
Yeah, he blows a fart in their face.
Because women love that. When you show up, you're like, hey, baby. Ready for some lovemaking?
That's how I met my wife.
Of course you did. One's got a beanie on in the middle of the hot southern summer. A winter hat on. They make it clear right away. Their dicks are asleep from the long travel. Like your foot falls asleep, their dicks are asleep, and they need these girls to help wake their dicks.
All right, now I'm a little loath to
so
admit
I like,
that
I love
I,
that scene.
I'm just, little,
that is writing 101. That spoke
am,
to me.
I am a little loath to admit
my dick falls asleep on that drive home every
that
night.
I did kind of like that guy.
The Matthew Lillard goofy beanie guy.
Yeah. He kind of remind me of who's the guy who did the who did Shaggy and the Scooby Doo?
Matthew Lillard. That's who I just said.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I knew where you're going with this. I know you better than you know yourself.
I did kind of like him. He was very dry.
They pronounced that the cabin will be now known as the Bone Zone.
Oh, jeez.
Which, by the way, is a dog groomer business here in Temple.
No, it's Belton.
Belton,
or so they say on the outside.
Temple's Doggy Styles.
Yeah.
Doggy Styles does the haircut. What is with these sexual innuendo dog grooming businesses in Central Texas?
I mean, literally, like Belton, you drive over the main street, like right over, when you cross over the train track bridge, on the other side, like right across from a school, is the Bone Zone.
And here on 31st Street, it's Doggy Styles.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Heavy Panty.
So I'm just going to open one called Puppy Fuckers.
Screw the ending.
Why beat around the bush?
Hey, you should pitch that to the Zombie
it's
Beavers.
To Zombievers.
Puppy guys, Fuckers.
You interested? You guys played Zombievers.
I'd fund it, but I'm tapped out. I don't have. Start a Kickstarter.
Go fund me. Here we go.
I'm picturing these guys having the conversation like those old school horror conversations. We can get Rex Lynn for $3,000 for two nights.
Jeez. Okay, so we're now the cabin has been renamed the Bone Zone.
I got to tell you, I missed that. I didn't catch the bones.
It was the bones.
Yeah, I did.
Everyone goes inside, including the cheating boyfriend. Jen's cheating boyfriend is there.
And we can totally tell why he's desirable.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Yeah, no doubt.
He's 34 years old.
Playing the part of a 22-year-old. It's like me showing up as a part of a 22-year-old.
It's like us showing up to a high school party.
That's what we should do.
What's up, baby?
What's up, bitches?
Have the Zombievers movie made over with me and Tuttle showing up as the young fraternity guys. Hey, girls. Didn't even mean to do that.
Yeah, you don't mean to fart. You just we can't hold it at this age.
Yeah, there was nothing.
It isn't just my dick. The entire lower half of my body's asleep.
There was nothing good about it, which makes it even more funnier when he delivers that whole, well, what you have to do is decide, blah, 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 blah.
Did you get that pic I sent you? The one of the soggy baby carrots? No, that was my dick pic.
Yeah. I've been into photographing vegetables recently.
Shiitake. Everyone goes inside. For some reason, Jen lets her cheating boyfriend in. She agrees to it, like, you know what? Maybe this will be therapeutic.
Well, first, Mary, who we think is Jen's friend at that point, tries to argue that no, we should send them all home. But
we had a policy: no texting, no boys.
They argue that because their wangs are asleep, that's enough for them to
come inside. Their dicks are asleep; they need help waking them up. And once we declare this place the Bone Zone, we're doing this.
I'm gonna try that one on my dating profile. In case you're wondering, ladies, my dick is asleep, and I need you to wake it up.
Well, I would say this: if you on Match.com, if you get her to come up to your place, just say, "Welcome to the Bone Zone."
Don't be like, "Hey, every guy is looking for his sleeping beauty, and you're all looking for my sleeping wang. Somebody, wake it up, kiss it, wake it up."
It has been in a coma for years,
for years, decades, even.
It's Steven Seagal and Hard to Kill. My dick. It's got the long gray beard.
John Mincy.
I need you to go to Chinatown and bring me back some herbs and some needles. So I can stick it.
Dude, I'm in the velour sweatsuit, just hitting the fence post with my dick over and over. Get back up.
I like Mincy.
You know, it was so great. We connected on Match.com. What I'm going to need you to go is down to Chinatown in Dallas. I'm going to write some herbs. Through the aid of herbs, lotions, and your gentle feminine hands, we can maybe bring this baby.
No, I like the part where I'm laying in the hospital bed, but I'm completely clean shaven. She just opens, she just pulls the sheets back, and there's this giant 70s fro where my nards are supposed to be.
No, that's it, the whole thing. Your wang's in a coma. Your wang is just in this deep coma. Big Fu Manchu mustache flowing over your shaft.
We lobby for you to play the part of O'Malley. He had the most unkillable penis I've ever seen.
He had the greatest cock I've ever seen, damn it.
The funniest.
30 men take a shot at that cock.
I guarantee you that
Cody walks up as the corrupt cop. Well, somebody stop that dick tonight. You can take that to the sperm bank.
Now, that movie I would fund. That movie I would go in on Kickstarter with.
Somehow the producers of Zombievers are going, damn it.
Damn it. hard to spew. You gotta do
cock
this.
Cock to kill.
Cock to kill.
I like hard to spew.
Hard to erect.
I like hard to spew.
Hard to spew.
Yeah. Alright, well.
No, I'm coming back to that. There's some...
Quickly, when they get in there, the one couple, the guy that sent the dick pics, I guess it works because he's banging away. That couple just starts going nuts. And he's saying a bunch of inappropriate things when he's...
Oh, yeah, it was straight up Will Ferrell, let's just shoot and see what
happens. Yeah, and you see in the credits, like the gag reel, they just let this guy say stuff like, you remind me of my grandma, and like all this weird stuff as he's doing her doggy style. Oh, God, I can't believe we're doing this movie. So the other couples are just sitting there listening to this one couple doing it.
Oh, by the way, I have to admit that I liked Zoe. I thought she was attractive until I saw that fucking chest tattoo. Or
did
the rib tattoo.
The tattoos universally in this movie. The one guy had like a set of random numbers
on
his
side. I think everybody under the age of 30 has them now.
I don't mind. Well, God, I'm fucking
old.
It's
a Chinese symbol for strength and fertility.
I don't mind some of that shit, but tattooing your ribs, it's not attractive.
I thought she was sexy.
She was kind of sexy.
Yeah, but actually that's smart. I mean, for a lot of people, they want to get a tattoo
Yeah,
you're wearing your shirt, there, so. Yeah.
I don't like it either.
Just want to talk about hard to
spoil. Well, it's not like The Bachelor. Well, I can't say it because you haven't watched this one.
Don't you dare spoil The Bachelor for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I can't.
Bachelorette.
Jenny made me watch it.
Yeah, sure she did. At least I have the balls to say I watch it on my own volition.
You think I could be on The Bachelor?
You want me to tell you about it?
Too old.
Too old?
Too old, yeah.
I tried to talk you into it 10 years ago when I started watching the damn thing, and you said I'm stupid. Now it's not looking like such a bad deal. Wait a minute. I could get 30 chicks to show up and, like, it's the bone zone?
Yeah, if you're The Bachelor, but if you're on The Bachelorette, well, Bachelorette, you're there with a whole
bunch
of dudes.
It's your, but I've yet to see on The Bachelorette a guy send dick pics. Or they, when they go over to their little one-on-one time, and the guy's like, I guess I don't want to show you on my phone here. Oh, God. Well, with some Chinese herbs, we could bring this baby back to life.
Is it a blurred photo of my
And they show The Bachelorette like Mason Storm. So heartbroken Jen, the one who was cheated on, the only one not screwing at this point,
yeah,
she's listening to all her friends have sex. She decides for some reason she's going to take a shower, and at the 27 minute mark in this movie, almost 30 minutes in, we finally see a zombiever. She opens the shower curtain and there's this, hey, I'm going to say something nice, not CGI,
no, it was practical.
There's a practical beaver puppet in there with huge teeth and wet and bloody and, you know, ferocious.
And they could have gone CGI with it because they did CGI with a lot of the blood work.
They do, but they didn't with the beavers.
Yeah.
And
that beaver was wet and bloody and ferocious.
That beaver
was real, damn it.
No, that beaver was moist. That was a moist beaver.
Moist and furry.
I knew we'd make this work. So one of the walking dildos that showed up at the party, walk in with a baseball bat.
That's a good zombie TV show, by the way, The Walking Dildos.
I'm writing a treatment for The Walking Dildos. I want to cast these three guys in it.
How can you not?
So one of the walking dildos, I'm just going to call them that for the remainder of the podcast, shows up and he kills the beaver with a baseball bat. And
another euphemism, or pun.
Drags it out, puts it in a hefty bag.
Kill that beaver
with
a baseball bat.
And boom, we cut to the next day.
Going home tonight to my wife. Time to kill the beaver with a baseball bat.
So I should prepare my guest room
yes,
for an extended stay. Jeez. Next day, we just cut. They kill the beaver, this crazy rabid beaver. They kill it, no big deal.
Chunk it out on the front porch.
Next day, let's all go swimming. They're all heading down to the old watering hole. Still telling beaver jokes all along the way. They do not shy away from the beaver analogies and the beaver puns, which I guess ties into their drinking game.
Yeah, yeah. How can you not with a movie named Zombievers?
Well, and I get that. But all of a sudden, we get an actual twist in this movie. The good girl, Mary, we know she's the good girl because she has glasses on.
That's right.
She's like the Thelma from Scooby-Doo.
And she was the one advocating the gnome boys.
She's still hot.
Thelma's hot. Sorry.
Well, this chick is Mary's
hot. This chick's
hot.
Yeah. Little skinny,
she wears,
too. Little
like,
skinny
the
knee-high for me,
socks, and she's very skinny, but she wears...
A little skinny for me,
she's got little
she's
short right. shorts. Her butt cheeks aren't hanging out like the blonde, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you know she's...
You take the bad with the good.
That's how you know she's academic, is her butt cheeks are just barely hanging out of her jean shorts.
Exactly, you have to make her...
We learn that she, from her talking to the walking dildo that's the cheater, it was her that cheated with him.
Who cheated on him with the fat guy from NSYNC?
He is kind of like the fat guy from NSYNC, isn't he? Not the fat guy, not Joey.
No, yeah, okay,
The spiked hair guy from NSYNC that nobody knows his name.
Oh, great, now we're going to have to look it up, because nobody does know his name.
You know, the one guy in the boy band is like, he's not the fat guy, but he's like the ugly guy.
It's that cool Native American spike he wears on a necklace around his neck. That's what just sets the chicks off.
But we find out that it was
And we already know he is a beaver killer.
Ooh, well, somebody had sent Mary a text, not a dick pic, but a text of him making out with this girl, but her hair was covering her face. It turns out it's Mary, our good girl, who we thought was our good girl.
It's always the good girls.
Does
it
matter?
The quiet ones.
Does any of this matter? Of course not.
No.
Zombievers. None of this really adds
Zombievers don't care,
adds
man.
Up to shit.
Zombievers don't care.
They're all unlikable assholes, so none of it matters. None of it. It's a twist. Oh, God, I can't believe she... But then I caught myself, I'm like, oh, wait, it's Zombievers.
Yeah.
None of this matters. I just... again, I thought maybe the writers might think this was an actual plot twist that got you like, oh, shit.
Mary? I don't think so.
Mary slept?
I don't think they went that hard with it.
I think you're overestimating their...
I think you are.
Their intent.
Yeah, I think you might.
We're underestimating their intent.
Exactly. I think by this point, they were just fucking drunk, high, and riding.
So they go swimming. I'm just going to keep moving here. They go swimming.
What we should have done when we watched this movie.
The guy, the walking dildo that wears the beanie all the time, he's kind of the Zoe's boyfriend, the fast talker. The guy sends dick pics.
Yeah.
He goes swimming and he gets his foot chopped off by a beaver.
Well, they're out there enjoying it. And the next thing you know, he's like, you know, screaming. And he comes up and he's holding his foot.
That's kind of cool.
His foot got bit off by a beaver.
I will say the CG on that was not bad.
No,
the missing foot deal when he gets up onto the platform.
Yeah, and they showed a little fake stump leg.
Yeah,
and,
good job, special effects.
So they're freaking out. Jen, the blonde, swims to safety and runs to the cabin to call the police or an ambulance or whatever. But the beavers
naturally
have cut the phone lines.
The beavers took that out.
The beavers took out the phone lines, all communication. I can't believe I just said that. The beavers have cut off all lines of communication.
They frequently do.
They do. It's hard to talk when you're surrounded by beaver.
That is true. drink.
Mean little animals, but their coats are worth a fortune.
Tuttle, if you could just give us a drink every now and then.
I'm working on my own initiative.
It's called survival.
You can stay here. I'm not.
One of the breathing planks... Sorry, actors, on the raft gets the bright idea of throwing the dog.
Oh, my God. Hang on.
That was hilarious.
I will say this.
This is breaking news.
Zombievers tweeted us back. Oh, God.
That's a question for the boss man at Jordan Rubin.
The director. What was your question again? Whose dicks were in the dick pics?
Yeah, whether they were real dicks.
Did she tag him on that?
Yes, she did. And Jordan Rubin.
Maybe we'll hear back from Jordan Rubin about the dick pics. This could not have been a better movie for our 10th episode. It's getting better by the minute.
It's getting you've better been decrying its value all evening.
Well, so one of the 34-year-old college kid...
Sam, I believe.
Sam is his name?
Yes.
He decides, I'm going to throw the dog into the water to distract the people. That's the one thing I liked about the movie. Because not only does he throw the dog, which
it's just coming in.
No. Surf's up, pal. Throws that dog in the water. And I'm like, all right, that was funny.
He gave that dog a legitimate swamp toss.
He swamp tossed that dog right in the middle with no hesitation. And it wasn't like... They had this big thing, like it's us with the dog, like this.
No, he was like, "Fuck this shit, I don't."
Surf's up, buddy. That was awesome.
Yeah,
well, it was. But once again, in classic movie fashion, of course, they have to show you that you know the poor little dog swimming away. But this whole time, they're watching the dog swim away. They're watching all these beavers go chasing after the dog, and they just
The minute they take off after, they should have dove in. Start rooting for the guy. Oh, the little fella gets away.
Oh, I should have never done that. Oh no, buyer's remorse. What?
Yeah, they never even leave the platform. They just watch the dog swim.
Well, they get back to the.
You've cheated on Jen. You've sent cock pictures. Now you throw the dog away.
Oh wait, you're talking about the movie. Sorry. Two of our wives are named Jen, so. I was like, I don't remember throwing a dog. Night falls. They're all back at the cabin. Things are going up. The tension is rising. It's palpable at this point.
The beavers are banging their tails.
The beavers are banging. There's beaver everywhere at this point. Remember Vegas, 2006?
How could you forget?
Sadly, it was 2003 and there was no beaver anywhere.
I've told you before, I have a big problem with dates and details.
Let's go with 2006.
And beavers.
The wood cabin is surrounded by beavers.
The bones.
Night falls. We find ourselves, and now they're the not so randy college kids, which I'm not a big fan of. I only watch
TNA flicks.
Randy college kids. Exactly. The minute they become non-randy, I'm out.
I'm fine if they use the word horny. If they say horny teens,
horny college kids, I'm good too.
Yeah.
Once they're not horny or randy, then
I'm out.
Yeah.
They're holed up in the cabin. Apparently, the Zombievers are the only things that can suck the Randy out of a group of kids like this. They're serious. They're.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty much downhill.
Well, Zoe still pissed about her dog, which who wouldn't be? She rats out Mary as the slut who slept with Sam.
Yeah.
She chooses this as the time.
This is the time.
This is the time with all this beaver shit going on.
I have to clear my conscience.
I got to clear my conscience. Like, I'm calling this shit out. We're going to get to the bottom of some things. So she calls Mary, you know, the slut temptress that seduced Sam. But Jen, instead of crying or losing her shit that one of her best friends, you know, slept with her boyfriend.
That doesn't matter.
She
now.
Seems kind of resigned. Kind of like Billy in Predator. She's like, I don't know what's
happening. We're all going to die.
We're all going to die.
We're all going to get eaten by beaver.
It doesn't matter, Major. There's something out there and it smells like beaver. And we're all going to die.
What the hell is wrong with Jen? It's that goddamn pussy of hers. It's a goddamn beaver of hers.
It's a goddamn beaver of hers.
We're all going to die.
That's what she's like, though. She doesn't even react to the fact that it was her best friend. It'd be like you telling me, like, hey, guess what? Mincy's the one that slept with your wife. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You dropped us in here full of beaver and... she gets it.
You cooked up a story and dropped the six of us in a beaver dam. Do you remember Lebanon? What happened to the tunnel?
Forget.
Just you and me.
You used to send me dick pics I could trust.
Mincy, just you and me surrounded by all that beaver. And we walk out.
Well, no, she has a great line.
Not a scratch.
She has a great line. Not a fucking scratch. You and me.
I'm going to cut your name into that beaver. I'm going to cut your name into that beaver. You and me. Just you and me. Fucking beaver.
This is a badass bush.
This is a badass bush. Yep. Badass
bush. Makes beaver dam look like Kansas.
Makes beaver dams look like Kansas.
How about a little taste of home? Shows us dick pics.
Oh, shit. Now I know what our new parody is going to be.
Well,
ain't no way for no beaver to die.
Ain't no way for no beaver hunter to die. Dude, show Mac just slicing up that beaver. Could you find something bigger?
Dick pics, me and Cade, Vegas 2006. Me and Cade both got one. Tut spits on it. Got a real
wait, you guys sent each other dick pics?
Real nasty habit you got.
Boop, boop. That's when I hit the green light in the cockpit.
Quiet.
Quiet.
5 meter spread.
5 meter spread.
No sound.
No sound.
Y'all are a bunch of goddamn dinosauruses. Goddamn dinosaurus faggots.
Goddamn cockpit taking faggots around here.
We're
still on the track, but only on one of the rails.
Well, Jen says something very apt at this point. Not only does she take the Billy approach of we're all going to die, which she's perceptive, but yeah. She says something. She's like, those things out there, they're not beavers. She knows. She knows. I'm trying to give credit where... I'm struggling here.
No, just keep going, man. That's
right.
Then two of the girls do start fighting over something, though. This because that's when Sam utters his great line of, oh, that we can't fight each other. That's just what those beavers want.
Okay, we're going to get that. That is, tensions are rising.
That's what the beavers want us to do.
But meanwhile, they do show Jen in those jean shorts quite a bit, walking around in circles.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, man.
She's nice. She was nice.
As they say in London, I believe, those were the mutts nuts. Those jean shorts were fucking awesome.
Is this where Sam was like, what you two need to do is figure out why you both find me so hot?
Oh, that's what he said.
Oh,
what we need to do is sit down and discuss why you both would want to sleep with me.
And
like, we'd all like to know that.
We'd all like,
we'd
really like to know
exactly. Why.
So a few of the kids take the wounded beanie dildo guy out to the Prius for an escape, but they run into a...
fallen tree.
A dam.
The beavers
build a dam blocking their
road.
No, they chewed through a tree.
But I love this insurmountable object that is a tree that has fallen over.
There's no way around this.
You mean except on either,
on side, either
of
side
of
it?
They were in a Prius. I can't go off-road.
Yeah, you can't take a
it
Prius.
It can drive around on grass, around a tree stump, maybe?
Did anybody catch the dildo's line when he gets out of the car?
No.
He says it real quick. Oh, this sucks a bag of dicks.
But now, I thought his death was the most poignant because it's the first one we see.
It's the,
because
literally, when his death scene hits, my first reaction was, why not?
Well, I'm going to get
really
to that.
It's coming up quick. Slow moving object fell on him.
Ah.
While they're trying to escape with the wounded dildo, the other ones are going into full zombie mode, trying to board up the house, board up the windows and the doors. They're going to be in there for a while. When Mary's boyfriend, the varsity jack guy, gets killed, I think that's what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, the
slowest, most avoidable death in movie history by the tree.
Other than the steamroller from Austin Powers.
Yeah. No. No! It's continuing to come towards me.
It's 20 feet away.
Somebody please help me. This is going to hurt. We have 20 minutes here. Please. Again, Mary's boyfriend gets killed. If you're confused listening to the podcast at this point on who that guy was, join the club.
Yeah,
they're very interchangeable.
His name was Tommy.
Tommy. That's why you're here, Mitzi.
He's the one that said, suck a bag of dicks.
It wasn't Sam. It was Tommy.
Sam is the one who
Who's the beanie guy?
The one with the foot that chopped off. The big. He was Buck.
Buck. Okay.
Name's Buck. Like the fuck.
It was a color night Buck.
I'm dating a little piece of ass. 505 pounds.
505 pounds. Lance Henderson. Let's get him on the show.
Name's Buck.
He would never be in Zombie. Well, he'd probably be in Zombievers. As far as they didn't get Lance Henderson, Zombievers.
We can get Lance Zimmerman for $3,000.
I think we can get Henriksen here one night if we promise him some stogies and a couple drinks.
Why not?
You know what? Enough about this movie for a minute. Let's take an interlude. You want to tell the story about Henderksen with those dickheads at the horror convention?
So,
I'm going to look for any avenue to talk about other shit than this movie.
Henderksen.
Set the scene. This is Texas Frightmare Weekend.
Texas Frightmare Weekend 2010. Henriksen's one of the. And the big guests are George Romero and John Carpenter. Right,
who's Henriksen, first of all?
Alien, you'd probably know him. He was the cyborg in Alien.
Okay, got him. Got him. Yeah.
Ton of shit.
Alien vs. Predator, he was the rich billionaire.
He was in the Millennium TV show.
Yes, he was the main guy in Millennium. There you go.
So,
Pumpkinhead.
Exactly. He seemed pretty affable, but he is charging like $35 an autograph, so he probably doesn't want to speak to anyone for free. But
that's always the weird conundrum at these conventions. You're paying to get a picture with them, but when they have to go to the bathroom, these guys will catch them as they're like going to get a soda or something and be like, hey, can we get a pic? And it's like, you know, I charge for this. Like, this is why I'm here.
Well, this douche nozzle doesn't ask for a picture. He just...
This guy really was a douche. I can't believe the shit this guy said.
Henriksen walks
and
by.
We're sitting there right by him.
And he just goes, first he says, hey man, how old are you? And Henriksen's all, 65. I look him up on IMDb and found he was lying by 5 years. He's all, 65. He's all, were you on the north or the south? Like it was the funniest thing.
These are the dudes, the writers.
Jesus.
What the hell was that?
I think Nada was hearing your clicker as a snap.
Oh, I wasn't snapping. Got to work on a new system. Got hit by a piece of shrapnel there. It's okay.
My anecdote was ruined.
Nada ruined the podcast.
It's over. We're done.
Cody, go fire.
All right. Let's pick back up. Start your anecdote other again.
Where was I?
Set it up.
So Cade and I are in the bathroom taking dick pics that we're going to go show John Carpenter because we're thinking he'd like that.
He did not care for those. No.
We were very taken aback. Well, he was taken aback. We were mildly surprised. Well, actually, we expected it.
Highly disappointed, mildly surprised.
Yeah. Then we ran into Charlie Cyphers. It was a whole other ballgame.
It was a rainbow of emotions that day. So we're in the lobby of the hotel, and Lance Henderksen walks out of the gift shop. We bought a Coke or something. And he's
pack of smokes.
And these guys from Zombievers go up to him. Hey, man, how old are you?
65. The guy's like, were you on the north or the south? And Henderksen, to his credit, he looks at the guy for a second.
He didn't miss a beat.
For a split second... I could punch him, but I'm not. And he goes, the South. We lost. And then he walks off.
And Vince and I are looking like, who the fuck did this asshole say this shit to somebody? I felt sorry, though, for Lance Henderson because his booth was next to Margot Kidder from Superman.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Luckily, he got a steady line of people, so he was kept busy.
But my God, that could not... You could not ask... If you're at these conventions, if you get stuck next to Margot Kidder...
Why?
You got your hands full.
Why?
Isn't she nuts?
Sounds like a good time.
She's crazy.
Sounds like a good time.
Now, the good time would have been if you were next to Daniel Harris and Kane Hodder.
That was a good booth. And we partied with them that night. Yeah, it was...
Are you telling me that you wouldn't party with Margot Kidder?
No. Did we party?
No, I would not.
All right, we could dedicate a whole podcast. We partied with William Catt.
Greatest American Hero?
Hell yeah.
Dude, that guy was fucking...
Oh, dude, he came up to us and this girl we were hanging out with.
He's got a Corona.
Like, hey, this is Matt and John. He's like, Matt and John! He's got these two Coronas. Like,
no, with the lime
in it. He's like, I've been looking for you guys everywhere. Let's party, baby.
Let's party, bitches.
He left the Corona with the lime. First of all, thanks for including me, but it was you. She was like, this is Matt. And he's all, Matt! And he's got his Corona with the lime stuck in it. And he's all, there's something in my beer. He starts licking the lime right in front of us.
It was bizarre. He looks the exact same. Like, the guy hasn't aged.
The hair's gray, but otherwise he's the same.
But it's still curly. He looks the exact same. And later that night I woke up. I was wearing the American's Greatest American Hero outfit in the pool. It was
good times.
It was good times.
You woke up the next morning and Cat's coming out of the shower. Hey guys,
my wiener was not in a coma that night.
Toweled himself off. These Fried Mirror contests are always crazy. Love you, William Catt. Awesome. Did you ever get a chance to go to a horror convention? Party with Mr. Catt.
Party with William Catt. My God, that dude was blast.
And by the way,
Kane Hodder,
big fucking dude. Coolest could be.
Put us both in headlocks and almost broke our necks.
And
Jenny, my wife, was pregnant at the time. He put her in a headlock.
No,
I looked over at her because he had us both in headlocks, and I was like, are you okay? And she's like, ah. I was like, all right, dude. It was horrible. But we asked for it.
By the way, we need to wrap up the Dankosaur since it's gone.
Okay.
Can you still hear me? Because I think I punched my microphone. That old William Catt thing got me real excited.
You got wrapped up in it, man.
Let's do the Dankosaurus part two here. As you know now, the cake float.
I am sad to see
I had two.
Gone from
Everybody
the O'Brien's wall.
Yeah, I had three.
Oh, yeah, Mincy got the third. What did you think?
I liked it.
I really liked it.
I really liked it, too.
We were still
really
drinking
liked it. Too. Totally redeemed Cedar Creek Brewing from the Spinning Mule, which actually Cody likes, to be fair. And Cody's a good connoisseur of beer. So.
He is. He's our litmus test, and I think he might be right. It might have been the cigar that night.
It could have been. But this was, like, without a doubt, a winner.
It's one of the most flavorful IPAs as far as just a lot of peach and citrus and not a lot of, you know, you guys know me. I'm a big IPA guy. I like that bitterness. It didn't have a lot of the kick.
But I'm not an IPA guy, and that's what I liked about it. Now I can have the Dankosaurus with my IPA friends.
I'm not an IPA guy.
Well, we've shifted.
I'm a malt liquor guy.
We've shifted gears here to the 512 IPA. Cody, off the top of your head, do you know the bitterness on this?
It's supposed to actually be right about the same as the Dankosaurus, about to be 70, but I would honestly say this is far more bitter.
Big time. Like, I get it a lot more in this than I did on the Dankosaurus.
But then again, it doesn't have experimental hops in it. 05264.
Oh, so they're honest about their blend.
Well,
it's just experimental. We don't know what it is.
I gotta tell you, man, the first,
like green goo in the beer.
This is our first possible. Are you sure this isn't 05247? Because I'm getting notes of 05247.
I got some notes of 90210 in mine.
Well,
booyah!
It's good. I had one of these in San Antonio for the first time.
Kind of smells like Shenandoah.
And where's the? This is a stupid question. I'm assuming the 512 IPA is out of Austin, Texas.
It is.
Where the area code 512...
No, it's actually out of Houston.
Okay. A regular staple here at O'Brien's?
It is.
It's good.
It's very good.
Well, it was until we decide to have it on a podcast. Then it'll be gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, well, nobody will ever.
We're the kiss of death for everything on that
wall.
It
really is.
Which shows we have good taste in beers.
We have great taste in
beer. I'm not talking at all. Scooby-Doo.
Or we're just alcoholics.
Tut's got the Scooby-Doo voice going.
Cody's sitting over there counting his money like Cade's vision of John Fogerty in the Vietnam movies, and we're all sitting there holding our sides. My liver.
Did I ever tell you my theory about John Fogerty?
Let's polish off Zombievers.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I'll get to that later. I have a whole theory on how John Fogerty was behind the Vietnam War. he had written all these great songs that had like no value because there's no.
I think so this Fortunate Son song will play great in The Deer Hunter.
It was like he pulled the strings to launch the war, and then you can't watch a Vietnam movie without Fortunate Son playing over the helicopter shots.
Run through the jungle.
Yeah, it's like somehow Fogarty was involved in the Senate committee meetings. Like he just kind of whispered
it. It actually
ears,
really
like,
is true because you think there's this. A guy who's who lives his whole life, I hate war, yet you've made all of your money off.
All your money has come from these wars.
War profiteering. You didn't sell guns, you sold songs.
Your lyrical magic was like bullets.
It ain't me. I ain't no zombie for son.
John Fogarty, if you're listening tonight, if you could write a zombie song.
Keep on zombievering?
That wouldn't. Keep on zombie.
No, I believe the zombie song was written. I was waiting until we wrapped it up to break into song.
Dick Cheese.
Was that Zombievers? Did you not watch the end credits?
Yeah,
that lounge song version.
It had a lounge song. Zombievers.
This is very Richard Cheese esque.
If that it was like a lounge song. Yeah.
Well, it was kind of like a throwback to the Dawn of the Dead remake, the one in the mall, where they had that one scene where Richard Cheese is doing Down with the Sickness in the lounge style. That's kind of what they were doing.
Well, I guess we should get back to this movie.
Why?
So they're bored. Right.
At least the good part where these guys are finally facing off.
The one group is trying to escape. They ran into trouble with the Prius in the road. The other ones are boarding it up. When Mary's boyfriend gets killed by the beavers, like I said, you're confused at that point. These guys are all the same. But Mr. Smith with a Y shows up. And he saves Zoe and her footless lover with his shotgun. That sounds like a Phil Collins song, doesn't it?
Footless lover.
She's a footless lover.
She's only got one foot. She's a footless lover.
Well, he's a
footless lover. The zombievers took the other.
Oh, thank God we
Phil drew. Collins, if you're listening to my...
We're sorry.
I apologize. You were great on Miami Vice. So he tells them about beaver, or the Smith with the Y character tells them about.
I made a rhyme there.
Beaver fever.
No one appreciated it.
Beaver fever.
Beaver fever
hit this county in the 70s.
Yeah. It had something to do with diarrhea, right?
I have no idea.
He said something about diarrhea.
Well, at this point, you can just tell there. I don't think there's a script. Beaver fever hit this county, and it's like silence. Like I don't know what I'm supposed to say now because there's no script. There's no lines.
He did say something about diarrhea. I got that.
Did he have diarrhea?
Phil Collins, if you want to work that into your Footless Lover song, there was a lot of diarrhea. It was just very confusing. Meanwhile, the teens that are at the cabin fighting for their lives...
they've come to learn the folly of their ways, putting wood over the windows.
Well, that's the great thing. The ironic thing is they're boarding up the house, and they're like, oh, shit.
You're boarding up.
Beavers are attracted to wood.
You're using wood to board up against an animal that eats wood?
That was.
I thought that was funny.
That and throwing the dog in the water. You've got me twice now in an hour.
Beavers are attracted to wood?
That's right.
Not mine.
Hey. No crying on the podcast. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
I'll get you. Silently crying.
See, now I snap. Yes, ma'am.
Love you.
Okay, give me a minute.
But yes, the boarding up the house is the wrong thing to do as the beavers are attracted to wood.
So now as we see the beavers trying to break through the boarded up windows, and they're now stabbing them furiously with knives, stabbing and stabbing.
But they can't die.
Not once did they stab it in the head.
They did once. The one on the table. But it was a goof because when they cut back to it later, it stabbed in the back. It was a continuity error.
Oh, nice stealing of the goblet. Oh, I thought you were going to drink
that. Oh, don't you feel like a walking dildo?
That's for
now.
You.
Dude, she's bringing more. Muncie.
She's bringing more, dude.
Who's Muncie?
That's what that security guard called you in high school. I got a John Muncie out here.
You know what? I'm still slow dancing with Cody, but you got yourself a hell of a lot closer to that foot massage right there.
I didn't say foot massage. It said foot job.
We can start out with the massage.
What's the difference between a foot massage and a foot job?
Foot job is where you use your...
put his foot in my mouth?
It's about
3 feet.
You use your feet to jerk off his wiener. You're wise to pick Dancing with Cody on the dance floor. Oh, you're...
Let me rethink this. Let this masturbate. I mean, let this marinate for a little while. Back to the
this will be the one episode where my wife is like, hey, can I listen to what you guys... No.
Oh, really? She even entertains that thought at this point?
She's brave.
Hey, Jason.
We're newlyweds.
Jason, I've got 4 hours to kill. I was thinking about listening to your podcast.
Sure, go ahead, baby. Well,
I like how she wants to watch a movie with Tut, and she's like, what movie are you guys watching? And it's Tusk, Swamp Thing 2. It's like, no.
Jenny, I'll give credit where credit's due. Jenny watched Maggie with me, and she watched Tusk with me. And she enjoyed Maggie.
And she's never going to watch another movie with me again.
When I pulled up Zombievers on the thing.
You've been married a little while longer, though. Tut's still like, I gotta...
Zombievers.
She's more acclimated to your taste.
Zombievers was not a shocker to her that this was going down.
Tuttle's Jen still might know what she's gotten herself into yet.
So Smith, with a Y, shows up at the cabin and starts blasting those filthy, hairy sons of bitches.
You beavers, you hairy, filthy...
You filthy, hairy bastards.
Again, the beaver innuendos just never stop.
Which is a redeeming quality.
Is it?
Small.
Is it?
Yeah. You gotta give me something in an hour and 15.
So Mary and Jen, the seductress and the girl that she betrayed, and the cheating dude, find themselves shacked up together. He swears that when they're all far away from the cabin safe, they can get to the bottom of why both these chicks want to bone him so bad.
I was just thinking there'd be a three-way right there.
There should have been.
That would have been...
How did these testosterone-filled dudes writing this thing not think of that?
I mean, if you're going to go full-on TNA horror flick...
Why not?
Why not?
Well, they did, you know... They did actually try to get into that here in a little couple of scenes later.
Yeah, with the bathroom scene. Oh, and the seductress versus whatever.
But... He clarifies, but let's not tear each other apart. That's what the beavers want us to do.
That's what the beavers want us to do.
We can't fight each other. That's what they want. That's what the beavers want.
That's what the beavers want us to do, damn it.
Beavers are dug out there like an Alabama tick.
I ain't got time to turn into a zombiever.
Yeah?
You got time to duck? Duck.
Well, it's kind of poignant that you just said that, because we do get to see what happens now to the people that have been bitten by the zombie.
I've been waiting on this.
They go to the neighbor's house. The middle-aged neighbors have been bitten some time ago by the... We've yet to see a human zombiever.
Which...
You always show up when I say... Not always shows up when I say the weirdest things. So we're finally seeing the humans that have been taken over by the beaver virus. Don't spill.
You just described every male in America that's not, or that's heterosexual.
I can't believe there's not a Zombiever IPA.
There is now.
Yeah, everything else has a craft beer named after it.
Yeah. Gracias.
Thank you, Nada.
Yeah, actually, there was an article I was reading today about how the craft beer, there's so many labels coming out right now because of the boom. They're going to run out of names because they're just...
Zombiever IPA.
So much out there. And there probably will be a Zombiever IPA somewhere.
Sink into it.
Slap your tail to this.
Well, the Smith guy, the woodsman... Goes over to the neighbor's house with... Is it Zoe?
Yes.
Yeah. And David Keith.
And David Keith.
We just call Zoe Tits from now on.
She's the only one that shows her boobs. We'll call her boobs.
Let's call her Tits.
And they were nice.
No, boobs is more respectful.
And they were nice.
Oh, pardon me.
So,
Your Majesty.
Smith and Tits go over to...
See?
The house. It does go off the tongue better. Tits. And they see the neighbors.
That'll be an IPA. Smith and Tits IPA.
Smith and Tits.
What was that?
Smith and Tits Porter.
Wait, what was that with a Swamp Thing 2 director? Colored Tits or something like that?
Points.
Colored Points.
And that classy actor was like, I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that.
And they never spoke to each other again the entire movie.
And then he had to say, oh, you're not going to say that. You took the check for Swamp Thing 2.
Jim Wynorski should have directed this. He would have done a bang-up job on that.
Collar tits. So Smythe and tits are out there.
So Smythe and points are out at the neighbor's house. And they've both been bitten, these middle-aged folks. And Smith, you know, gives us the valuable insight that beavers are more active at night. All right, you know what? Maybe these innuendos are working for me.
I'll say you're laughing an awful
lot. Yeah, maybe.
All you need are 5-6 beers, all of a sudden it's genius.
You know what? It's funny. The more IPAs I drink, the more the beaver jokes are
Now we found the writing magic.
Yeah. That should be the Zombievers drinking game. Drink a 12-pack, then watch the movie. That's the game. You'll love it.
You'll love it.
Now I'm going to be just like totally pro-Zombiever. George Romero, you didn't know what the fuck you were doing with zombies. Zombiever, they solved the riddle. Come on.
The riddle of steel.
The riddle of steel.
Hear the
beavers aren't powerful boys. Zombievers are.
Drive the beavers before you. Hear the lamentation of the tits.
You'll never see my Zombiever. Who says I will?
Tie Cade to the tree of Zombiever.
Okay. I just want to say this right now, because it's in my notes. I do the notes as I'm watching the movie. And I'm going to be honest, this is what I wrote. I usually just try to just get the flow of the film and whatever. At this point I wrote, I hate this fucking movie, and the thought of every penny spent on this piece of shit makes me want to puke. I'm just giving my notes. Happy 10th episode, bitches!
That's what I was thinking at the start of this podcast. Our 10th episode and we did this.
Happy 10th episode, bitches.
Actually, it makes perfect sense.
It does. In a lot of ways, it's, I guess, what you call poetic justice. It's a perfect movie.
If you get invited to the Zombiever Dam, don't go. There's more than just eating wood that goes on down there.
Arnold Radio News, these are raw deal quotes. You wouldn't get this on quotation.
Confrontation. Whatever.
Salutations.
Take your Zombiever quotations and shove up your fat fucking ass.
Can't believe y'all missed that Predator quote. Come on.
All right.
Like a Zombiever with a Virginia tree under her arm and no bread.
But I'm going to use this opportunity before we finish out the show. Next week we're going to be talking about a very great film that I discovered. You guys are going to be creaming in your jeans. We don't purposely do bad films. That's not our thing.
Zomweasels. Zomchipmunks.
It's a three-part podcast.
I think I broke something in my brain.
No, we're not doing Zom Squirrels.
Zom Blue Jays?
Zom Orioles. Black, orange, deadly. No, we're doing a really good movie next time. Our intent here is not to do bad movies.
So let's finish this one off.
With Swamp Thing, it wasn't going into like, because it's universally looked at as kind of a bad movie. We found We found the good in it.
No.
Yeah. And we found the great in the sequel. I went into Zombievers wanting to find the good. But you can't, you know. All beavers don't smell like roses.
No.
That was the one joke they didn't make. I was waiting for them to go, God, this beaver stinks. Like after they killed the dead one, just have to go, oh man, this beaver's rank, man.
Beaver ranks. How did they not make a beaver?
Well, remember when Douchebag was like, I'm sorry I didn't go down on you, it smells bad down there.
Oh, when he's dying. Yeah. I didn't even make a note of that. When the footless, Vincey, what's his name? Zach?
Buck.
When he's dying, his dying words to Zoe are, I'm sorry I never ate your pussy. If I had this all to do over again, I'd eat it. But it just smells so bad.
God.
What the fuck is that? God. It's not funny.
No, it
and
wasn't.
Imagine how it would have been after they killed that first. Like, oh, God, Harry motherfucker stinks now.
Oh.
Well, that's why it surprises me that these writers are
put
like
this podcast
older.
On my dating profile. Here's really me. No pictures, no nothing. Just watch this.
Well, for whatever
the wait for the emails to start coming in.
Well, I mean,
oh, I'm into romance. It's my new thing.
Oh, I'm about to cry on that one.
Well, anywho.
Well, one of the things I... Yeah.
I love that. Well, anyway. Shit. Yeah,
well, like you said, it's not like... Because it's weird, because a lot of my friends will be like, how can you watch that B movie? How do you watch that bad movie? It's a B low budget. No, there's some really good B movies
would
out there.
Would these be his Austin friends?
But I'm just like, I think that's why I didn't latch into the effort that they did here, because I guess as an older viewer, I've seen all this. I've seen every cheap thrill that they've
done. You
haven't,
though.
I've seen all
the stuff.
And I say
that because I have literally hundreds of these movies, Mincy too. I've seen them done a million different ways, whether it's a sci-fi movie where everybody plays it straight, but they take the threat seriously. I've seen it where they take it campy, and it's great.
That's what I'm talking
about.
For
some reason, they missed...
I thought this was enjoyably bad, but I do think you and I have gone back and forth on this for a long time. This definitely... You said it yourself 10 minutes ago about the 12-pack. This was definitely a movie that would only have been enhanced by having some beers beforehand.
There's nothing greater to me, Mincy, than...
I just thought that I'd seen every scene in here before.
On a Saturday night, if they're doing, you know, Piranaconda versus...
Swamp Shark.
Alligator Octopus, I love it. But you can do it a couple of different ways. You can do the characters playing it straight, and they take the threat straight, and then the director takes it straight. You can do
Eric
Roberts
in it,
where they have jokes, and you do that. For some reason, I don't know, the tone they took with this failed on me on a basic level, and I think it started with the girls, establishing the girls, and it was clearly men writing horrible dialogue for girls, and it just kind of went...
Are we sure that this isn't an age thing?
I'm positive. I think this is if you're going to do a film like Zombievers... Get chicks to write it.
Yeah.
Because if you want me to connect at all with these chicks, actually
that's a really good point.
Get a chick to write this movie. A chick could write a very funny Zombievers movie.
It turns into a whole sensitive thing.
Did we get
thing?
Live music down there all of a sudden?
Yeah. It's what's her face? Blonde.
Lily.
Lily.
Okay. All right.
Or what's her face? I'm sure.
Well, I'm starting to sound like one of the screenwriters of Zombievers.
What's her face? But no, that does sound like very interesting. I would love to see what a women team would do like with a TNA movie. Now, tell them, all right, here's your project. You've got to write a TNA movie geared towards men.
One of the biggest TNA horror movies in history is the 80s flick. Was it Sorority House? No, not Sorority House. Slumber Party Massacre, written, directed by a woman. Guess what? That dialogue between the chicks?
Yeah.
Halloween. The Jamie Lee Curtis and the PJ Souls and the other chick? Written by Deborah Hill.
Yeah.
You love those chicks. You believe their interactions. I was just watching women speak lines written for them by dudes.
Yeah.
Now in the women writing this movie, the guys would be all sensitive. I can't believe Rachel cheated on me.
Should I give my dick pic a filter like a sepia or a
All right, now before we move on too much though. God,
this song, dude, every time she sings this song I get so depressed. Going into a dark place.
Well,
just because of the song itself or just because she's singing it all?
All right, snap out of it, because I do want to talk about the human
guy from Seinfeld, Jerry Desperado.
Well, out of nowhere, anywho. Jen, for some reason, the scorned blonde chick.
With the good ass.
With the great butt cheeks hanging out of the shorts. She turns into a zombie all of a sudden.
The Zombiever.
She literally, that's the thing.
Out of nowhere.
Now you actually turn into a beaver person.
A hybrid. A beaver girl.
You grow buck teeth.
Buck teeth and a tail.
And a tail.
If we started a chain restaurant like Twin Peaks or Hooters called Beavers, and we got the chicks to walk around with big buck teeth hanging out of their face.
Oh, my favorite part
and
about this was
their shorts.
The Scooby-Doo chick.
There's something here.
If we can get the biker crowd in there. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Oh,
too soon.
Too soon.
Actually, no, it's never too soon for that.
No.
They got to go someplace.
I was,
Now you're getting depressed because of this damn music.
Yeah, it's... I'm sorry. Just take a popular song, make it in a minor key. Come on. It's been done.
Shitting on the song. I like it. We've always butted heads against
I'm not shitting on the song. I'm just shitting on the interpretation.
We've always butted heads. I'm a big fan of hers. You don't dig it.
I don't mind her. I think she's got some talent, but just...
I love how the podcast has turned into a criticism of the live music in the book. She's good. She's a good young girl. I like her.
She's all right.
So, Jen, we're talking about Jen turning, and all of a sudden, Jen turns into a zombie.
This is when I why not? That's pretty much my entire summation of this entire movie is why not?
Well, it is a good call. You can only go so far.
You have to.
You can only go so far with these rodents trying to get in the house. You got to start turning.
I was going to say, anybody else know that was happening? Because I didn't.
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't see it coming.
I didn't know that they were going to do that.
No,
but at the same time, I was thinking about it because if they don't turn, if there's not a zombie human deal after you get scratched or bitten,
it's not really a zombie. It's
you're
just
talking about
zebra.
Yeah, it's a mutant. It's
radioactive
just a mutant.
Zebras. Radioactive beavers.
It's just a mutant zebra.
I'm not going to talk anymore.
Yeah, it's just a mutant beaver at that point, so they had to have some type of turn.
Well, across the yard, Footless Dildo, the Beanie Boy, he turns into a zombiever. Rapidly, everybody starts turning into
zombies.
Everybody's a zombiever at this point. And he attacks Smith with the Y, and he kills him, and Zoe, she pulls a Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Marilyn Burns, diving out the top story window.
Seemed a bit excessive.
Swan dive. There was like 3 or 4 exits she could have taken.
She ran back the way she came. Just dives out the window.
Just dives out the goddamn window.
It's like, we ever watched that, was it the Reefer Madness thing?
So all of a sudden, Mary and the 34-year-old douche nozzle cheating boyfriend are trapped in the bathroom together, and they start doing it.
Because that's what you have to do when you're...
Exactly.
If you're surrounded by beaver,
you have to do it.
Maybe they'll get some beaver.
It's time to nail the beaver.
That's right.
Why didn't
he show that beaver who's boss?
Why didn't he say that? Hey,
I'm going to show this beaver who's in charge.
Why not like that? Like, enough about those beavers.
You like how I did the little... show the beaver who's in charge.
Folks, check out YouTube. We're going to show some Mincy beaver thrusting.
Oh. Yeah!
It's nice.
With this music playing in the background. I didn't say you weren't going to get your dance. I just said I'm thinking about the foot job.
So they're
the foot job. I'm the dance.
I know. I kind of like both.
Here's
actually
the thing to embrace, boys. Our horny college kids are Randy again. They got the randiness back.
They got their randiness back.
The randiness is back. And right as he's about to pull out his pecker and attack a beaver.
The beaver devours the dick.
A sensitive way. Jen Beaver busts through the floor and bites his fucking dick off.
Oh, he got his comeuppance.
Friend of mine worked at Fidelity.
I want to see how Mincy ties this into the story. He gets his dick bitten off. Friend of mine at Fidelity.
Well, no, I don't work there. The company I work at. We had a discussion once how awesome it would be if the South Carolina Gamecocks played the Oregon State Beavers in a bowl game. Because then you could just all the different things like cock stuff it to beavers.
The cocks are battering the beavers.
Beavers smother cocks on goal line. Really, you really got to be careful when the music ends. You're not saying something really louder than you want to.
We're white. We've gotten used to the music pauses.
Oh, wow.
So she bites it.
Cocks annihilate beavers. well, she beavers too much for Cox.
She just chomps down and bites his fucking dick off. Which I felt nothing for the guy because he's an asshole.
He's an asshole.
I wish it happened 30 minutes earlier in the film.
Exactly. I was about to say, at this time, I'm like, all right, this is the big finale. This is where everybody's...
Well, the house now is on fire because of the beavers.
even that, like, I don't even know how that works, but it
beavers
does.
Beavers set this house on fire.
Beavers lit that fucker on fire. God bless those beavers.
Oh, I will say this, and we talked about
this. It's getting hot in here.
We talked about this with another movie we did where you wanted them to die. Like, am I the only one rooting for the beavers at this point?
I was.
The beavers were put on here for a purpose to get rid of these.
I'm rooting for the end credits.
I mean, this cabin was basically Darwin.
Some beavers.
This cabin was Darwin's waiting room of just... Morons.
Stumble down there drunkenly an hour. Give me that guitar. Zombievers.
I gotta watch it again to hear the Bond song.
I can't believe that you did.
I missed it.
No. Yeah.
So the house is on fire due to the beavers. Why is that funny? But Zoe, the one who shows her tits, she bursts in with her truck to rescue them. She got the truck running. She bursts in there and gets them out. But Smith... with the Y is now a zombiever, and he starts blasting, shooting him. I can't say zombiever anymore. I just can't.
Yeah.
At this point,
it's just everything on this movie.
So there's a final confrontation. They go outside. They escape. Where Mary thinks that Zoe, Mary the good girl, who actually was a slut, thinks that Zoe is an actual zombiever. I said it again.
It's okay, keep going. We're getting near the...
But...
As the French say, the denouement.
And then, of course, she has to give her the...
But
you can't kill me. Not until I turn, otherwise it's murder.
Yeah. They put, like, an existential crisis in there.
And then, of course, while she's holding the gun, Mary turns into a zombiever.
But then Mary, it turns out, who is holding the gun, she turns into the zombiever.
And Zoe takes an axe.
Zoe takes an axe and kills her ass. To a nice piano score, by the way, to let us know there's some emotion present. And then Zoe, the sole survivor, begins to walk off, and she's promptly run over by the two...
Here come the two dicks.
Medical waste, John Mayer and the other guy from the beginning of the film. They just run her over, and the movie's over.
Thank God.
Longest hour and 16 minutes of your life.
Actually, I was. I spent most of it on the phone.
You didn't watch the movie.
Did you get through this whole thing without actually watching it?
Ask him to.
I don't usually begrudge other filmmakers. Or if you can finance and actually complete a film, that's no easy task.
I was about to say, that is...
That's no easy task, no matter what you do. I really am good about not... I try not to do that, but for some reason, this fucking movie rubbed me really the wrong way.
I get where you're coming from, because it did have some money in it, and believe it or not, it wasn't like a horror movie where you say, we can get Reggie Bannister for $3,000 for a day. For Rex Lynn and for the other guy, Brent Briscoe, that was in it, that played the guy at the house, he's been in a ton of shit. They actually paid some money to make this movie.
Yeah.
And I think when... And again, I don't...
What would you guess?
Budget? First-time filmmakers who don't know what you can do with money.
But they knew somebody who knew somebody. Oh, sure. They got some stuff done.
They've been,
they've been
production
working
value,
TV for a while.
The production value on this was good.
It's well over $1 million. Which, when this
you said
is,
over, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well over $1 million. And when, again, I hate, and I really make an effort to not begrudge anybody's success. If you can make a movie, you have my respect.
Do it, yeah.
But when this horse shit is getting made, while legitimate original stuff is begging for scraps on Kickstarter, and that just don't give me $1 million, give me $75,000 to do something that's never been done. And these guys are having a blast doing this.
Do you think they just sold the hook though, right? Zombievers. I mean, they hooked somebody with it.
They hooked us.
Yeah.
Last Tuesday, Tuttle, or Cody and I are sitting there like, Wolf Cop, that's pretty good. Oh, wait. Zombievers.
The funny thing is that me and my wife are going through Netflix, and it pops up Zombievers, and I say, I guarantee you, if there's a zombie movie that Kate watches, it's going to be this one.
I saw about the first 30 minutes of Wolf Cop, and I don't know that anybody would have had a much different reaction.
Did you bail it? Bail on it?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to go back to it. It could have turned into something, but...
I actually heard decent things about Wolf Cop, but...
It's another one that would have been a very short investment in time. It's only about an hour and 20 minutes.
Well, I mean, there's a ton of movies that are made that are just made just to be made. They're not... Sometimes I think, and I have to be careful because I think that sometimes we overanalyze things. I think sometimes we start looking for shit that's not there and just... Come on, it's a fucking movie called Zombie.
Yeah.
You can't get too deep with it.
But I think where Mincy and I come from is we've seen the same type of movie done well.
Yeah,
but we haven't done bad, too.
Yeah. It's done bad.
Yeah.
But this one just came from a very heartless position.
Yeah.
And...
We're just here for shit and giggles, and we got money.
It just rubbed me the wrong way.
To me, that's exactly where it was. We're here for shit and giggles, and we got money to do it. That's it.
I guess if I...
Let's call it what it is. That's what it is. Yeah. It's a bunch of frat boy types that got some money to make a movie. I understand they had industry connections. They had industry experience.
And probably, you know...
But they made a film full of unlikable characters.
It could have been done better.
But I will say that, you know...
It wasn't funny. It wasn't scary. It wasn't
anything. If I'm in their position and I'm listening to this podcast, I would be like, what have you guys done? Are you guys just bitching because you can't get the money?
It's a valid point.
No, it's just...
Here's the thing, though. And I feel like I can... say this with... I'm like Tuttle tonight with this sneeze. At least I sneeze like a man, Dan. That high-pitched whistle is the sneeze of a man, Dan. Here's the thing. If you had told me in my 20s, you can go to L.A., work your way up, and you can be directing Zombievers in your 30s, and maybe more movies like Zombievers. Maybe sci-fi flicks. Maybe direct-to-video flicks. And you'll make a decent living at it. Would you do that, Kate?
Why not? That's what, what's his name? Is it Sam Raimi? The big B-movie director? The guy who did all the shit with...
Evil Deads?
Yeah, the Evil Deads, all that.
Spider-Mans?
Yeah.
So he moved on from B-movies to some bigger stuff.
He went from B to A. There's not a lot of... There's not a lot of trash in there.
Yeah.
But I bring this up a lot with Jonathan Drew. Fuck the list, make the legacy.
Yeah.
If I'm going to make a movie, 2 years of my life, I'm not making fucking Zombievers. I'm not coming home tired every night from shooting Zombievers.
I'm just saying
you would have done it differently.
I would have done it differently.
I'm just saying sometimes you got to pay the bills.
I'm saying that's fine for other folks. It's not for me. If I film something, I want to be all consumed in it and believe in it and feel like I'm doing something that's not this.
Somebody comes up and gives you $1 million to do Unreliables. Actually, no, that had a shit ton more soul than this.
Unreliables, our little short film, had a gazillion times more soul than this.
Yeah.
It had interesting characters. It had funny dialogue.
Great
dialogue. We shot it in one fucking day for a case of beer. That was our budget. A case of Coors Banquet beer was our budget. I mean, granted, Mincy had to buy the leather chaps and...
I don't look at that as me having to do anything.
You look beautiful.
God, every time we talk about that, I curse myself. I should have showed up with that vest and those chaps.
The chaps were late in the mail.
No, I mean for tonight.
Oh, tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know. I look
a podcast and whole complete fool.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh no, brother. Beavers can chew the wood, but they can't gnaw on the sack.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I love comedies. I love horror movies, awesome. But I can't spend 2 years of my life making this.
Really, 2 years?
I doubt this that
was
they probably did.
This was a 2 day project.
That's true. Shooting schedule is probably 3 weeks.
Yeah,
it probably took them 3 days to write the thing. Let's talk real quick. This was edited out of our last show because we ran 5 hours. Let's talk real quick about zombie shit we do like. I'm going to go around the table here. I want to just kind of ask you, what is your favorite zombie presentation? It can be TV, it can be film, it can be whatever. What is your go-to zombie? Obviously, it's not Zombievers.
No.
What is Tuttle like in the zombie genre?
Oh, man, that's so tough. Because I am a big fan of the Walking Dead series. Shaun of the Dead, brilliant. I love that comedy team. I love Frost and Peg. They're just brilliant. I like the Night of the Dead, the one in the house.
Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah.
The black and white, the original?
The black and white, the original. I've never seen the original. I didn't even know that there was a Romero Dawn of the Dead in the mall until last week.
That's so a classic.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. But I like the remake, too. I like the remake. That opening sequence of Dawn of the Dead was very great.
Watch Romero's.
It's a bit sacrilegious that you don't know about that. That's like a classic. That's like a classic fucking film.
I know.
It's the best zombie film ever made.
Yeah.
Can't really argue that.
Cody, Laserdisc?
Laserdisc.
This was cut out of the last show, but we kind of went down memory lane when I bought my first Laserdisc player. Senior high school?
Senior.
No, you're senior. I was working at the cinema. Senior year. One of the first Laserdiscs I got was Dawn of the Dead, which is a long movie. A 2.5-hour movie.
Yeah.
Invite the boys over to watch Dawn of the Dead. And all of a sudden, the screen, 45 minutes into it, the screen goes blue on the TV set. Like, what is this? Oh, I got to flip the disc, boys.
Record the size of a
crumb.
What was the zombie movie that had the chick naked on the tombstone?
Return
of the Living Dead 2, I think it was.
One.
That's
Leona Quigley from Return of the Living Dead 1, which is in my top three zombie movies of all time.
I actually have that memory floating around in there.
If you had HBO in the 80s.
Which oddly started out with contamination from nuclear barrel.
A tampered with barrel.
Yeah.
Goddamn military. Corps of Engineers.
Yeah. U.S. Army. Corps of Engineers.
Sprays them all in the face.
But actually, I like a lot of the stuff. Like 28 Days Later, I'm a fan of. That's not a traditional slow-moving, shuffling zombie. Actually, the best zombie work that I've ever done or I've ever experienced was the book Day of the Z, World War Z. The book World War Z is awesome. And the movie was entertaining, but it was nothing like the book. But the treatment of World War Z, I would love to actually see go to a TV setting to where each one of those little chapters is its own season. You could expand that out for, God, 7-8 seasons and have a great run.
I don't know. I think I said last week, Mike, I think George Romero kind of said everything that needs to be said about zombies. I've never seen The Walking Dead. I kind of got burned out on zombies.
Oh, and I have to put, I'm sorry to interrupt, I have to put Maggie in the top five. I thought Maggie was fucking excellent.
Approach it from a viewpoint that we hadn't seen before.
Exactly.
Minty?
It is a hard thing to answer because, as you just pointed out, it's been overdone, both in films and in novels and horror novels. The zombie thing's been, a horse has been kicked to death. Romero is the definitive one. Dawn of the Dead is the best. I've liked all the Romero movies. I even liked Land of the Dead with Dennis Hopper and John Leguizamo. I don't think you were a big fan of that one.
I wasn't, but I really like Survival of the Dead.
Survival of the Dead.
The clans on the island.
Any of the ones that he did. Return is great. Shaun of the Dead is great. I did like 28 Days Later, which is different. I didn't see the sequel 28 Weeks Later.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one, but I did like the first one. So you mentioned Shaun of the Dead, Return of the Living Dead. I saw the first season or two of Walking Dead, but then it got kind of stale for me. I'm trying to think of what else, because I know there's some other things out there, but it really does all go back to Romero.
It does for me.
Dawn of the Dead is the best one.
He's the godfather of the genre, and I thought he covered everything.
There's a lot to be said for Night of the Living Dead. I think it's probably a lot dated now, just from the means that he had at his disposal.
Yeah.
It's kind of like watching Easy Rider of zombie films.
Yeah,
in a way.
I still like it.
Yeah, it's a great movie. But Dawn of the Dead's definitely the best.
I have to check
it out. I like all
out.
The other ones. It's a classic. It's a masterpiece. Really not just
is.
As horror
for
movies,
a reason.
But just it's just a fucking masterpiece of a film. I feel like I'm missing something. But I can't think of what it is, so it can't have been too good.
Cody?
Oh, I already said it. Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead. We're unanimous then. Todd, I mean...
Yeah, I gotta see it.
It's... He grew upon what he did with Night, establishing the world.
There was a Romero zombie chick that was kind of recent that was shot in a Cloverfield style with a bunch of like
that was it was his first one back. Found footage one. It was the Twilight of the Dead?
No, I know what you're talking about. It was in between Land of the Dead and before Survival.
It was the very...
Diary of the Dead.
Diary of the Dead.
Yeah.
It was a found footage one.
Yeah, I kind of like that one.
It was basically shot through a camcorder as they moved their way up through Canada. Man, I mean, he just know he created them. He knows them better than anybody. But that only gets you so far. But he grew the mythos with every film. Day of the Dead... which came after Dawn, wonderful film, which really explored the dynamics of the military and civilians trapped together.
Kate and I partied with a couple of those guys at the Friday.
We did party with them. Actually, they were very lethargic guys.
But they were cool.
They were cool, but they weren't up
there. Jarrath McElroy was the Irish guy.
Yeah.
And then the black guy's name escapes me. He was like Jamaican.
But they were cool.
Yeah.
They were, unlike Lance Henriksen, they were cool to take a picture, they were just kind of...
Well, we were in the VIP party when that happened.
Well, we don't do anything when we're not VIP.
One night when stuff going in the background, I want to hear the Fright Night story of Mincy, mainly because I want to post that picture of Mincy on the website.
Which one?
The one where Mincy was a cock blocking the Friday Night dude.
Cock blocking the Top Gun guy.
Oh, John Stockwell.
John Stockwell.
we'll save that one for another night because it was awesome.
Let's just say that
it was
that,
the same night, though.
At that point, Cade and I's blood alcohol content combined might have been enough to kill a small elephant.
We were zombies at that point. We should not have been alive. But we still found ways to cock block. What was his name in Top Gun?
The very beginning,
Cougar.
That's right, Cougar.
We caught Block Cougar.
And he totally mentioned in the Christine panel that afternoon, when I was doing Top Gun, like, yeah, you know you're going to mention that.
Nice guy. He was never...
Didn't really have a choice at that point. We just bum rushed his ass. We were both bigger than he is. What's he going to do? Love you, Stocks.
And the girl thanked us later. Like, you guys really saved my ass that night. Cougar was... Cougar was on the prowl that night.
Speaking of someone who didn't get saved, I hear Cody met Stan Lee again.
All right, real quick, before we get to my zombie stuff.
I also kind of cock-blocked Kane Hodder a little bit, but he was okay with it.
No, you... Actually, Mitzi cock-blocked quite a few horror legends that night.
I was blocking cocks left and right.
You were zombie-ever and cocks everywhere that night.
I realized I wasn't going to get nothing, so no one else was.
Before we get to my zombie picks, quick interlude. Before I sat down tonight... Cody was passing his cell phone around like a proud grandpa. Tell us about last weekend.
Got to go to the Fan Expo, Dallas Comic Con, and had to see him again. This time it was a hour-long Q&A with Stan Lee. Stan the Man Lee. One of my heroes. Been his work influenced my life. I'll put it as simply as that.
You told him as much.
I told him as much. I got to shake his hand. Got to tell him
thank you. I don't care if you put whatever super hot celebrity in front of me right now, it wouldn't matter. I met the one that I wanted to meet.
So you had
a whisper in your ear, I'm in room 1412, true believer.
If he had, I would have been there.
So
you're saying you handled it a little more sophisticated than when I met John Carpenter. Remember what I told him?
And we were sober at the time. It was not sober. In the morning.
Dude, when we met Carpenter...
Did you send him dick pics?
No, almost.
Almost.
You both have.
No, what did
we're
I say to him?
We were standing there in line, granted it was... No, I'll just say, I made fun of you, but then I had my moment later. So we're standing there, and Cade... And Carpenter couldn't have been nicer. He's signing autographs, and... Cade had bought extra tickets because he had a bunch of memorabilia for Carpenter to sign.
A bunch, 30 things.
And he's signing it all, and Cade just goes, man, I'm more nervous than the first time I got laid. And Carpenter just, he's signing an autograph, he stops, looks up. I don't know how I feel about that. So I'm giving Cade the business over it for an hour, and then I finally
he's busting my balls for like an hour, like, you just told John Carpenter.
And he's like, God damn it, I'm kicking him in the nuts.
And I'm like, why the fuck would I say it? But it was on it. It's the only thing I could think of. I was like, I'm standing there right in front of John Carpenter. I'm like, it was honest statement. I'm more nervous now than the first time I got laid.
Worse than, I meet Daniel Harris, and like a 16-year-old boy on his first date, I can't talk.
Dude, he was a mess.
I'm like, No, it was afterwards. I was already
It was afterwards.
First,
and I made fun of you at night.
First, I was okay. I was like, hey, Danielle, you want to sign this photo? And she stands up, she puts her arm around me. She's like, Kate's taking a picture. She's like, if you're going to get me and him in the same picture, you're going to have to turn that camera sideways. I'm like, this is cool.
One in the middle. Thank you.
And then after I walk off, that's when I can't speak for like a half an hour.
But no, here's the kicker.
Charlie Cypher's like, where are you guys from? And I'm like, spent time in Germany for a while. And
dude, I embarrassed myself with my Carpenter comment. I'm going to embarrass you. The next day, Sunday, me and the wife are packing up the car to leave. The convention's still going on Sunday. I'm like, Smitsy, you out of here? Because he lives in Dallas. I was going to go in there and see what Danielle's up to. thought we kind of made a connection there.
I went back over by her booth and I showed the picture of her and me out by the pool and I said, hey, I was like, just wanted to show you, this was the highlight of my weekend, was you taking a picture of me when I was drunk off my ass. And she sold it really well. She laughed. She's like, yeah, it was my pleasure.
And then she tased you.
And then she tased me.
Then the restraining order came in the mail.
No, but I played it cool when I met Danielle, but then for at least an hour afterwards, I like was like walking around like...
Well, that was the kicker. We met her at her booth, but that night at the VIP party, they were all just hanging out at the pool, so it was like we found ourselves talking to Danielle Harris by the pool. And
we had some liquid courage in ourselves, so it went a lot better.
Oh, yeah, we were toast. We were Jack and Cokes for like...
She was drinking, too, and...
It's a good night. Well...
That's actually... I like that picture of me and her out by the pool more than the one...
Of course.
At the,
it's natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can barely see her taser in that. Like, she's got
it. Well, she's got it pressed into my rib cage.
She's got it there, but
she's wearing like a little leather jacket, so you can't really see that I'm getting tased. And I'm drunk, so it's not really hitting me as much. Love you, Danielle.
Those of us that know and love Cody know what Stan Lee means to me. So that was really cool to see. If you said to me, we'll put it up on the website. He's so small. But then, I was like,
I'm still picturing him whispering in Cody's ear, I'll show you my Mr. Fantastic.
But he's like, 100 years old?
No, he's 92. 92, and the man is still
out there.
Still out there. Can tell everybody. I mean,
did he make any Zom Beaver jokes?
No.
All right. Okay. Anybody else fun you met at the convention?
I got to meet Kevin Conroy.
The voice of Batman.
The voice of Batman. That was also, I've always been a fan of the...
Conroy is awesome.
The video games, the Justice League cartoons, the original Batman animated series.
He does
series.
It all, huh?
He is...
Conroy. And this was in Dallas, eh?
In Dallas.
And you didn't call me, huh?
No, I did not.
Tuttle to put jobs on.
Yes!
Cody's like, thank God I did not want to do that 30-minute slow dance.
Did you catch a Rangers game while you're up there?
No.
My favorite zombie film of all time is Romero's Dawn of the Dead. Very close second is Fulci's Zombie.
I knew you were going to mention that.
Lucio Fulci's Zombie, which in Italy was marketed as a sequel to Dawn of the Dead. It's called Zombie 2.
It has no, it was in Italy. It was called Zombino.
Hey!
Whoa! Oh,
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 oh, oh! Actually, it was called Oh! Zombies! Oh!
Oh, Zombies! I'm not a real zombie from history.
Conserve.
Conserve. I just really hope nothing is audible after she started singing, I'm hoping.
It's all
audible. It's all audible.
Oh, fuck.
Barely, but it's there.
Zombino.
It's a wonderful movie. Like, we had our Laserdisc memory of Dawn of the Dead. I remember when I bought that clamshell VHS of Zombie from Suncoast Video in Killeen Mall. I got you boys over there to watch that.
I'm interested.
So the zombie gets eaten by the shark, right?
Yeah,
that's where he is.
I'm interested in checking that out because you said that the Maggie zombies are
the Maggie
really close
zombies were the closest. If I could guess where he pulled his reference points from, it's Fulci. That decayed, just really dry.
And they were awesome.
Yeah,
there was a scene in this week's Game of Thrones where they finally show. Spoiler alert. They finally show this attack of the Army of the Dead. And there
I saw stills. They're very decayed, very dry. And
same style. And I loved it. I thought it was great looking.
I'm a Fulci head. I love all Fulci films. But that one is a close second to Dawn of the Dead. Yeah. And then I love Shaun of the Dead and Return of the Living Dead. I love the spoof. Not spoof, but taking it into a satirical kind of direction with humor and all that. So you know what? Between Maggie and Zombievers and our discussion, I think we're done with zombies for a while.
What was that movie with Peter Cushing? That one with the late 70s? The Nazi zombies or the submarine?
Shockwaves.
Yeah.
Great movie too. Really creepy zombies in that. And actually, Maggie was very same thing. Very similar zombies. Shockwaves is awesome.
Okay, I'm definitely going to check out Maggie.
You got,
it's good.
I love Nazi zombies.
First of all, if you even like Arnold, you've got to watch it.
I love Arnold.
Then you have to watch it. It's a slow, it's a character study. It's a slow deal. Don't expect anything from...
No.
I said it last week or last podcast, and I'll say it again. The man deserves a best performing actor nod for the Oscars. I will stand by that.
They'll end up giving him a Lifetime Achievement Award when he's 80.
Yeah, and it'll be meaningless.
He's got a pig heart. He's not living to 80.
And I'm still
at that point, he's holding it outside of his chest.
It's on a tube. Check it out, my pig heart. I'm still pissed. I'm still pissed at how much credit he will not get.
And I love that you're still pissed, because I am too. And Arnold leads me into my last point. You mentioned in the Maggie podcast last week that I'm the biggest Arnold fan you know.
Correct.
Maybe to a weird fault how
no, you're just fanatic
I am.
You're just a big Arnold fan.
I am. I think...
And I thought I was a big Arnold fan. And I knew all that we were.
No, I do take it to an extreme, and I have my whole life. Menti can attest to that.
Should have heard what he was just saying in the bathroom.
Well, that's neither here nor there.
No, Cade is the biggest Arnold fan. I consider myself a very huge Arnold fan, but Cade definitely knows more than me.
My opinion is if you choose someone outside of your realm, whether it's a father figure, whether it's a personal mentor... If you're going to pick someone in the public persona to kind of guide your life, your philosophy, the guy has done it all. From a farm boy in Austria, there's not been a goal that this dude has set in his mind that he has not accomplished.
Yeah.
And exceeded.
A true self-made guy from the most humble beginnings.
I love self-made guys.
And this guy was from a humble beginnings.
I love self-made guys, but... That sounds. But this is the ultimate self-made man. Everything this guy has was built on hard work and his own steam. And I think you're a fool if you don't look at people like that and read what they have to say.
soak in. I have ever since I was a kid. I've just looked up to Arnold.
He's not a victim. He doesn't have disadvantages.
No,
everything he's done, he just fucking puts his head down, goes to work, and gets it done. I love stories like that.
And when he had an opportunity, he took advantage of it. I mean, he started off as a teenage bodybuilder. When he saw an opportunity to go to America, he jumped on it.
His eye was always on movies, and once he got movies, his eyes was...
I am Hercules.
It's a growth period.
Exactly. I am Hercules.
I am Hercules.
The guy created his own opportunities. He didn't seize opportunities. He created those opportunities. And every step of the way, he is who he is because of the focus and the drive. And I love that.
Yeah.
And I wish I had more of that. And I think a lot of people look up to people, they realize, you know what? I may not have exactly what that guy has, because who does?
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with setting a target on that guy's back and listening to every word he says. And yes, he might not be a perfect individual. Yes, he might not be a perfect politician or whatever. But every step of his career since I was a kid, whether it be movies, whether it be charitable things, I've always looked to this guy as the way you do shit.
Right.
And
because he's done it. Because
he's done it. And he's done it brilliantly. So last week we did Maggie, and Tuttle mentioned that I was the biggest Arnold fan he could imagine. Well, there is a bigger Arnold fan out there. He runs the Arnold Fans website. His name's Randy Jennings. And I can bow down and say he is a bigger Arnold fan than me. This guy is, he not only does he run the fan club, but he owns the largest collection of Arnold memorabilia.
Are you sure that doesn't sting just a little bit?
It does sting a little bit. It hurts me a little bit to give these kudos to Randy, but he's earned it. As Cody will see, when my Arnold room is in full effect, it's impressive.
It is. It really is.
I love your figurine of Duke guarding the humidor.
I have several Dukes guarding my humidor. Earlier this year...
Duke or Dutch?
Dutch, sorry.
He tricked me. Dutch.
The IPA talking.
It's the IPA talking. But earlier this year, Randy auctioned off through the Arnold fans a bunch of his... He had doubles of a lot of memorabilia. I got a Schwarzenegger humidor. Mincy, you saw it.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That he had commissioned for the After School All-Stars, his charity. There's like six of them made.
For After School Specials for kids who like cigars.
For kids who love cigars. And I also got a Christmas...
It's better than drugs, kids. Smoke a stogie.
And exercise.
Drink a glass of milk, do your knee bends, and have a cigar.
Hey, how many kids died of stogie smoking this year?
None.
But Randy Jennings is the ultimate fan. I put myself second, and I will take that title honorably, and I will do it. But he is in charge of the Arnold Radio News podcast. It is the only podcast. I don't know if it's a source of pride, but I don't listen to any podcast.
Yeah.
So I always figured they couldn't accuse us of copying any podcast if I don't listen to any other
one. It's funny, I don't either. And there's a lot of people that I admire. I tried to listen to some of Bret Easton Ellis's, but I'm just not really too interested in listening to a podcast that isn't ours.
I listen to Comic Book Club out of New York.
Tuttle does quite a few.
A couple of Kevin Smith.
Well, the only podcast I listen to is the Arnold Radio News. And it's run by the Arnold fans, Randy Jennings. And it's basically Arnold-centric news.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on in Arnold's life, whether it's Terminator, Genesis news, whether it's Maggie.
Yeah.
But it's literally whatever Arnold's up to that week, they cover. And for a guy like me who's...
And I'm starting to get on board because when you showed me that Nerdist podcast that they did, I just listened to the guy, Arnold. They
the
interviewed Arnold.
Interview on Nerdist, yeah.
And I just listened to the man talk, and I was
That was
like,
a great interview with him.
I was like, man, it's awesome.
He did another great one with Tim Ferriss, the guy that does the four-hour work week and the four-hour body week.
Oh, really? Okay, I know who Tim Ferriss is.
It's a great interview, too. And what Arnold does is, with Nerdist and with Tim Ferriss, he brings them into his kitchen.
Yeah.
And he just sits with them and just shoots the shit. And it's pure Arnold.
Yeah. And that's what I loved
There's
about
cussing.
It. That's what I loved There's, about
I mean, Arnold's a very blunt guy. It's very raw. It's very non-PC. He just shoots it to him straight, which is one of the things I love about Arnold. And one of the things I hope in my life that I, to the chagrin of my wife, I try not to have a filter when I talk to people. And that comes from Arnold. When you tell people things straight and you give it to them straight. Like, a lot of times they're not used to hearing that. We live in such a PC world. Arnold is one of those dudes that's just
kind of reminds me,
no bullshit.
Kind of reminds me of Sokka at Cat's Fest.
Very much so.
I've got something that I want to say, or I've got something that I'm trying to find out. I'm going to ask the questions. I'm going to say what I want to say.
Well, Arnold's always been great at that, but he's really excelled in his 60s of just like, you know what? I'm here for a limited amount of time. I'm going to make the biggest impact I can, and sometimes you just got to tell it how it is. So I bought a bunch of stuff from the Arnold Fans Auction, and I started listening to the Arnold Radio News. I listen to the podcast when I'm mowing my grass because I have about a 4 or 5 hour window there mowing where I can catch up on like three. Oh, so unlike us, unlike our 3 hour marathons, they do about a 1 hour show.
Like most
of them are from
wimps. But I can catch up.
Fools.
In the summertime, I don't listen to a lot in the fall when I'm mowing because I don't have time. Quakers. But when I go into mowing mode in the summer, I can catch up on a lot of the podcasts.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's all Arnold-centric stuff, his whole universe, and I catch up on a lot of things. The two hosts, the Gillinator, Ryan Gillin, and Brandon Krum. Who I'm Facebook fans with.
Brandon Crom?
K-R-U-M.
Crom.
Crom.
Crom. So
let's say Crom.
Crom.
And I'm sure he'd
Crom laughs at your podcast.
He'd go along with that.
Crom laughs at your 45-minute podcast.
They started, once Randy passed the podcast on to them, they developed this thing called the quotation confrontation situation. It's a trivia. It's an old trivia quote game they do, where they get about 4 or 5 questions, Arnold quotes from movies, and they feed them off each other and see if they can guess it.
So I gotta say, I'd be pretty good at that too.
Damn.
So I'm mowing my grass, listening to this.
Destroy.
And they're getting stumped. I'll throw one at you, Mincy. See if you get it. This is what you look like dead.
Raw deal.
There's no stopping us.
Raw deal when he...
It was easy.
Throws the guy down, he throws
Stop
the red...
Stop paying Lemansky.
Stop paying Lemansky. This is what you look like, dead.
Get in my way again and I'll kill you. I can go... Cody, I can Cody. Three more lines on the back of it.
Exactly. Cody.
Kiss my...
Cody. Exactly. Cody, I'm going to give you another one. This is getting better by the minute.
Predator.
Predator.
Fuck yeah. You can't stump us.
They got stumped.
Dude, those are easy.
Exactly.
I got all of them.
Those are fucking easy. I thought you were going to throw something like really hard. I was like, uh-oh, this will get you look like dead. Stop paying Lemansky. Where do you know that cop from? I just sent you three assholes in the alley.
With all due respect, because I love these guys, and it's the only... I can't say with peace and love, I love this podcast. But they're trying to think of the name of the gangster, of Max, in Raw Deal that was in that scene.
Max Keller.
And one of them looks it up on IMDb, played by...
Robert Davey.
Robert Davey. Robert Davey had an interview on the Arnold Fans.
You could not... I'm sorry, but you could not stump you or me on anything with...
Well, here's where I'm going, Mitzi. Arnold Radio News. I love you. You're my favorite podcast. But I'm challenging you to the quotation situ...
Confrontation.
Confrontation situation. You know where that comes from, don't you? Predator, when they annihilate the rebel base, and he's like, Hawkins, call in this position situation. Well, something like that. I think he's like, Hawkins, call in the position situation. That would be the one that stumped me. So now I would look like an
not
asshole.
Not if it's the name Hawkins.
Yeah. No, actually, it wouldn't stump you. You just can't say it.
So here's my friendly podcast throwdown. Arnold Radio News, I want to come on your show. If there's a week where the Gillinator, who kind of runs the ship, as I do here, or Brandon Crum, if someone can't do it, I'd love to sit in for an episode. I would love to challenge you guys to the quotation confrontation situation.
If the two of them want to go 2-on-2, you and I will beat anybody.
And I also want to throw this out there, too. If there's ever an
Don't forget a 3-on-3.
If there's ever an Arnold... If there's
you
ever,
cannot stump us. I'm sorry.
Look, I know by throwing this out there, they're going to dig up some Hercules in New York shit.
Do it. Do it.
But I want to go head-to-head. I want to show my value. I want to show how much I know Arnold. So I challenge you guys, invite me on. Let's do the quotation confrontation situation.
I will find a bootleg script of King Conan and your ass will be dead.
Like quotes that haven't even happened yet?
Haven't even happened yet.
That's kind of unfair.
It would be like having a seven-shot six-shooter.
I'm telling you, we can do this, boys.
So, I was in plenty of westerns. Seven brides for six brothers.
I'm caveating this with listen to the podcast. If you're an Arnold fan, it's a great podcast.
It is.
Listen to it. It's very similar to what we
drunken
do here.
Cowboy whiskey.
They don't get drunk. They don't smoke stogies.
Hey, well, that'll give them an advantage.
I was about to say.
You and I are going to get drunk and be smoking.
Well, that's the thing.
Exactly.
These two have an advantage because you're not going to be drinking.
These two will handicap themselves, get schnockered, and just destroy the quote.
Is that really a handicap?
No.
Not for me.
That would actually be, you can come on the podcast, but you have to be sober.
Feed me learning juice.
Oh. Forget it. Speaking of learning juice, who's that for?
That was whoever was empty next. That's yours. So I'll just
game
throw this
over,
out there.
Game over, man. Game over.
Randy Jennings and the Arnold fans are...
I'll find out what a mayor does.
My favorite website, my favorite podcast. Listen to them. This is not a cheap throw out there. It's a great podcast.
Yeah.
If you love Arnold, it's the best one to go out there. But
and hook that dude up on Snapchat, too.
Huh?
Snapchat. Arnold's going crazy on Snapchat.
He's a big
right
Reddit
now.
Guy, too.
Yeah.
I got my hands full, man. Instagram, Facebook. I can't take
it. Stop paying Lemansky.
I can't do it anymore. This is what you're going to look like dead. So hit us back. Let us know what you think of this. Get me on that show. Let me face you guys. Get some real competition.
You
some
should
ballsy
not,
competition.
You should not drink ballsy. And bake.
You should not drink and do podcasts. So hit me up. Let's do this. And everybody else, go what? Listen to Arnold fans. Maybe they'll have me on. We'll,
all right, let
let's
me
do a tie-in. Let's bring our two worlds together.
Let me hit you up with some links. Go to our website, TuesdayNightCigarClub.com. Also, check us out on Facebook.
How are they going to ring the game buzzers when I break off both their thumbs?
If you don't go to our Facebook page, how about a couple of acres?
Love it.
Here's subtitle, now plain tuttle.
Now plain tuttle. Hit us up on Twitter, TNCCcast. You got the Instagram feeds, man. Go to the website. It's all there.
It is all there. And go to the website. And what I'm more concerned with, go to the YouTube page, because we pull at least a dozen clips from every episode, our best of the show.
Yeah, if you
and
don't,
it's fun shit, and it gives you a different perspective watching us kind of hang around.
If you don't want to hang in for the entire 4.5 hours.
If you don't want to listen to the entire 7-hour podcast.
Pussy.
You're pussy. You're a zombiever.
Zombie.
Zombievers.
I gotta go back and listen.
Zombievers.
Go to fritzbeermusic.com if you love our theme song.
Fritz Beer is one and only.
Or end credits song. It doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, monotony. I love monotony.
You
that's
all
our
monotony.
Yeah. Just check out the site for Fritz Beer Single of the Month.
Go to, good point, Mr. Menzi. Go to fritzbeermusic.com. Sign up for the Single of the Month. This week he released his Single of the Month. Tommy Stinson of The Replacements and Guns N' Roses allowed him to release a free single from his new solo album.
Ooh!
So Fritz is really trying to build this kind of community with releasing singles. Go get it. It's free.
Yeah.
Go get it. If you like it, buy the CD. And if you like Fritz's shit.
If you just like rock and roll, check out fritzbeermusic.com.
If you like anything rock and roll.
Fuck yeah.
Go to fritzbeermusic.com. Go to keithahowell.com if you like the opening voiceover and the closing.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to hear what Keith Howell does for this episode.
If he had maximum overdrive in his pants, God knows he's going to think of Zombievers.
Damn straight.
I shudder to think about the Beaver references that'll be heading your way soon. But go to TuesdayNightCigarClub.com. It's got everything. Go to Facebook. Like us. We're going to do some contests soon. And I should say, we're going to get back on track with some submitted cigars. We're going to get back on with the cigar pairing guide from Monte Cristo. We're going to do some of that. We've got some Mas Emilio stuff. I'm sorry I picked a 10-minute cigar to smoke tonight for tonight's show. You guys were done with it before we even started talking about the movie.
It was fantastic.
But was it? It was a smooth smoke.
It was a good smoke.
It was a very smooth smoke. And
definitely a reason why I'm having
it.
It
was
kind of
poignant. And, you know. It is what it is. So the beer, 512, is great beer. Maybe we can feature it.
The Dankosaurus.
The Dankosaurus.
Holy crap. Cedar Creek,
I'm
man.
I'm sad that we
Cedar
don't
Creek.
Have more.
Sorry we ran out of it. It was awesome.
So visit us. Go subscribe on iTunes. We're starting to get some comments from subscribers on iTunes. That's great. If you like us, let us know. If you don't like us, let us know.
Zombiever, sorry about the criticism,
no
but
apologies.
Love the fact that you were engaged with us all night.
Send us some dick pics, will you?
Zombiever, send Mincy.
Yeah, on that note.
Send Mincy dick pics.
Send Mincy dick pics.
Send Mincy some.
Not me.
Only because Cade wants them, but not directly.
Cody, do you want dick pics?
No, I do not.
Cody does not want dick pics.
Stan Lee dick pics? No, I respect Stan Lee too much.
Is that a soggy acorn? Oh, God, it's a Stan Lee dick pic.
Even though Cody doesn't want the dick pic, the NSA does. Send them.
Thank you for joining us. Episode 10 in the books. We'll be back in 2 weeks with
what's the movie?
A fucking great movie.
What is the movie?
You guys want to know?
Yeah.
I want to know.
All right. I don't want you to watch it, though, until a little bit closer.
I won't watch it until Tuesday.
I really like...
I will procrastinate.
I really like getting you guys fresh. I think that's a key to what we do is we're all just watching.
I'll watch it the night before.
It's the closest thing we can get to watching together. The movie is The Guest.
Okay.
Directed by Adam Wingard, who directed Your Next.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Horrible Way to Die.
Yeah.
It is the best original genre film I've seen in a very long time. I really want to talk about tonight. If somebody had answered their texts, we would have.
All in due time.
But it's going to be a fun show, and I can't wait to talk about it. So if you're listening, watch The Guest so you can join and you can get us from the ground running. The Guest, it's on Amazon Prime. Rent it. It's a cheap rental. $4 for 48 hours. Thanks to Florida Living for the great smoke. Atlantic Cigar Company for aging them for 10 years. Thanks to Dankosaurus. 512 IPA stepped in like a champ. And we'll catch you next time. May the wings of liberty never lose a feather. Hey, real quick. They've announced that they're remaking Big Trouble in Little China.
They have.
As we all give our Big Trouble, I'd be remiss if I did not address this.
I'm hesitant.
I'm not.
It's hard to...
I'm not.
I should preface this. It is,
go ahead, Wang. Insult me.
It's going to be produced by The Rock's production company and starring The Rock in the Jack Burton role.
Dwayne Johnson.
And as you guys know, there's no bigger... I may not be... Randy Jennings may have the Arnold crown as the biggest fan, but I will go to hell and back saying I'm the biggest John Carpenter fan.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I am too. Simply because I went through a phase to where I was like, all these remakes that are happening, oh, they're ruining my childhood, they're ruining my favorite films. No, they're not. It's just different. I mean,
will this ruin your childhood? I am lobbying for the role of David Lopan in the remake.
You should get David Lopan in the remake.
All I said was, I am hesitant.
Oh,
this really pisses me off.
Surely you know the problems between women and men?
There have been others, Tuttle. Surely someone as young as yourself knows about the problems between men and women?
Oh, it's going to be great.
Look, I like The Rock.
I do too. I think
he has a good sense of timing as a comedic actor.
Exactly.
Nobody is taking away the original Big Trouble in Little China.
No, this is not.
Well, I'm just saying, because it's obviously they say they're doing a remake, but of course it falls within. Haven't seen anything, so you don't know where they're taking.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
so
true.
I'm hesitant because I'm like, I don't want it to be turned into this gritty action movie.
No,
I don't want it to
be a rush hour thing.
A stupid comedy.
I don't want it to be a rush. Yeah,
they had such a good
hour.
Balance in the first.
They had a.
I don't want it to be a rush
balance.
Hour thing where Rock is like butting heads with Asians.
Yeah.
My only solace in this, because I do like The Rock,
but I would definitely love to see some updated special effects.
It said in the press release.
Okay, first of all, the Three
this
Storms.
Movie, the Big Trouble in Little China is his favorite movie of all time.
As long as he wears that tank top that I bought online in those scenes.
Well, you're going to wear that next podcast.
Tuttle, just tell me you don't get it.
I mean,
just
say
I don't get
some
it.
Of the
I don't
names. The Lord of Death, if you get rid of that, come on.
Shut up, Mr. Tuttle. You are not brought upon this earth to get it.
The worst that can happen is that it sucks. It goes gritty, it tries to go real, and it just blows. Who cares? We still have the Kurt Russell version of it. We still have the great version of it. That's the. I admire the fact that they're going after, but man, they have a tough hole to fill because that movie was damn near perfect.
But that's
in its
a great point. That's a great point because you take one of the shittiest remakes ever, and it's the only thing that I give Rob Zombie credit for is he said, "Look, it's not like I went out and destroyed the copies of the old movie. You've got the old ones. You can always go back to it." This is what you just said. It's not like this destroys the old version. Anyway.
And
I actually went on a rampage going to every place I could find destroying the Halloween remake, the DVDs. I went to Walmart and was like, flamethrower.
Well, see,
my court date's in 2 weeks.
The guy at the beginning of Dragnet. Cade's all pumping.
I could use you guys as character witnesses. I'm going to be going away for a while.
I'll testify.
I'm good with it.
I think Matt Cade did it. And
I'm good with it because I've often thought that with the swing away from the solo individual super movie star action hero, we've kind of lost that void as our 80s action heroes kind of got older. There hasn't been anyone that stepped up. Statham kind of stepped up a little bit, but not. It wasn't the same. I think that The Rock is the one person, maybe Stone Cold Steve Austin too.
No.
Really?
Rock is it, man.
I think Rock's got the perfect comedic timing to actually pull off Jack Burton if they don't take it too serious.
The tone is everything. The director is everything.
Yeah.
I know they got the X-Men, the guys that wrote the last X-Men movie to do it.
That kind of scares me because that was a little bit serious of treatment.
First Class.
First Class?
It was a man and a,
First Class
a man
or
and a woman.
Or Days of Future Past?
No, it was First Class.
Okay. And I like Days of Future Past, but that's not Big Trouble in Little China.
Well, just because you write one thing doesn't mean you can't write another.
That's true.
It's not like you hire the writers of Zombievers.
I just think if I'm low pan, that's going to really make this thing
damn straight it will.
Look, Cody, two girls married to hayseeds. I will sacrifice Jennifer Tuttle and live out my earthly pleasures with Jennifer Kay.
Well, first of all, I just want to say if I was by some chance given the reins of the Big Trouble Little China sequel, he would be Lo Pan.
He would.
You know, they're giving all this shit right now about that movie Aloha with Emma Stone being cast as a half-Chinese chick. I would cast Mincy as Lo Pan, and nobody would give a shit about it. You had to go there.
Don't offend our fucking Asian population. Come on.
Yeah, that guy. That one Asian guy that listens to the podcast. Don't offend him.
Shut up, Mr. Tuttle. You're not brought upon this earth to get it.
Surely there's situations with men and women.
I want to see the three
lords. Someone like yourself can understand?
I want to see the three lords. I just... Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm afraid. Like Cody said, I'm afraid that you go big-time CGI with it. It was very simple. Lightning bolts.
Well, and see, to say how, I mean, that movie changed so much. I mean, the three storms, lightning. I mean, that completely changed video game. You would not have Raiden in Mortal Kombat if it was not for that.
Exactly.
Well, like everything John Carpenter, it's a failure and then it's brilliant 10 years later.
Yeah.
Which is why John Carpenter rocks. So I just kind of want to throw that. I got asked to. I put up a post about it.
Facebook, and you've been getting hammered with that.
Everybody, because everybody knows I'm the biggest Carpenter fan in the world, and I'm like, you know what? I'm okay with it because I like The Rock. I think he has charisma. I think he could do it.
I agree.
I could see him in a trucker.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I can see it, and I want to see it. If it sucks,
I
want to
see
an
updated Pork Chop Express. Make no doubt about that.
If you look at the at where the remakes of Carpenter flicks have gone. The Fog was one of the worst horror...
They all suck.
Yeah.
Assault on Precinct 13 wasn't terrible.
No. Okay, that wasn't terrible.
But it wasn't good. But that was also not one of my favorite Carpenter movies. Halloween Remake was just an abortion of a film. It was horrible. Halloween 2 was even worse. Apparently they're doing Escape from New York up next.
Are they?
Yeah.
Cade and I went to a noon show of Halloween 2. We knew it was going to be bad. And we'd been drinking the night before.
Oh, we drank during it, too.
Well, no, we drank the night before and got back at like 4 a.m. At about 10:45, Cade's like shoving me, and I'm kind of like Martin Short and Three Amigos. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
What is it? It's time to watch a movie.
We're going to go get that noon show. We chug a Steel Reserve on the way to the show. You were still smoking cigarettes at the time, so we both had like 3 cigarettes and a Steel Reserve. As soon as that movie's over,
I thought I was going to be a hero with
Kate, well, I said that, and you were like, no, I just had to say it. There's only about 10 or 12 other people in there.
There's Temple, Texas. There's like a crowd of like a dozen people in the theater.
They all get up silently to leave, like they're leaving a funeral.
What do I say?
Kate,
loud as hell.
They're getting up like they're leaving a funeral, and Kate goes, oh, what a piece of shit.
And I expect like everyone to be like, yeah.
No, they just had enough. They just couldn't.
But dude, they were so broken down by how shitty a movie, they just looked at me and were like, don't do this. Like, you're just adding to our misery.
It was so bad that I think I had to go take a dump in the Academy Sports and Outdoors afterwards.
Oh, I did. I had to pull over and he had to dump at Academy.
Well, I'm looking forward to The Rock. I'm sorry.
That was our review. Mincy had to dump at Academy.
Load them until the flesh falls off. I'm Lopan. I am Lopan in this movie.
I'm looking forward to it.
Mincy Lopan.
If it sucks, it sucks.
I love The Rock. He's
just bring it, Rock. Just bring it.
Don't change, Burton. If this is truly your favorite movie, keep the core spirit of it alive. And God damn it, wear those moccasin boots.
Fuck yeah,
if you don't wear the moccasin boots.
If you don't have the knife,
I'm getting the moccasin boots for Christmas. That is my one Christmas wish.
For me?
For anybody listening, I want the moccasin.
And Rocky, just picture this scene. Nice enough, Mr. Burton. Goodbye. And then you throw it back in my head. A real one. And kill me.
So you're really putting yourself out there to get this role.
I want to be David Lopan.
Okay.
I'm picturing Cody as Storm. Or Thunder.
Yeah.
Look, Master. You are Flash.
He's more Thunder doing the...
No, he's the... who's the guy that blows himself up?
Yeah.
How can I help you?
That's Cody.
That's Cody. Hey, he had a cigar in that scene.
I can help.
He did.
He had a cigar in that scene.
How can
I help you?
I can help you.
I can help you. You know, the funny thing was, on that movie, Asian Americans protested. They thought it was a horrible representation.
And it does have a lot of the Asian stereotypes that were typical of that time. But the Asian characters were actually the hero of the movie.
They saved the world, not Jack Burton.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm going to lobby for Lopan, and I'm going to end up playing Eddie. And a whole lot more.
I agree.
The white guy that owns the Chinese buffet.
Here is our maitre d' at the Dragon of Blackpool, and a whole lot more.
No, I totally... That's actually one of my...
Fuck.
...sticky points is that I understand why people were like, oh, this is stereotypical Asian, but at the same time, it was a very positive role because they were the actual heroes of the film.
Of course, they were.
Burton was a buffoon. Burton was comic relief.
It was John Wayne done in satire.
Exactly.
And everybody got that except the protesters.
Exactly.
We could go on about this all night because...
No, it goes on what we always talk about. Everybody's offended by something.
God, stop being a fucking offended and just laugh. Just laugh.
Just laugh at David Lomency.
David Lomency.
Huh?
I was real quick, while we're on the subject, because it's what we do. I'm going to end on a down note.
Oh, God.
Apparently on the Today Show, they do kind of like we talked about in the show, Would You Rather? Mm-hmm. But it was too much, or I forget the name of their little game. It was Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Too soon?
It was Kathy Lee and Hoda. They do the little thing on Today Show. It was like, appropriate or not appropriate, I don't know what it was called. But it was posting breastfeeding pics on Instagram or Facebook of you breastfeeding your kid. And one of the, Kathy Lee or Hoda or somebody was like, too much. You know, I love breastfeeding, but it's a little too much when you post pictures of that. Well, this group of mothers, keep in mind, I'm all for breastfeeding. They came out.
We do it often.
The Today Show. Because you know you can see the crowd in the window outside?
Yeah.
With banners and signs protesting. These are our demands. You must apologize.
We have too much time on our hands.
For asking us to not show us breastfeeding our babies. You need to, one, apologize. Two, they had like 3 lists of demands. Oh, God, dude, I went off.
What kind of useless son of a bitch do you have to be to have time to protest anything? I don't give a shit.
I have bills to pay.
When did an opinion constitute a
Let's do a low pan rant on that. I have bills to pay. I have no time for your protest. I will loathe you until your flesh falls off.
You want to say something?
I just want to say I think it's ridiculous that anyone, as you said, it's an opinion. How dare you think something other than what I think?
And not only do you
opinions aren't wrong by their very nature, it's an opinion.
But here's the thing: they weren't protesting the opinion. That's one thing. They were demanding an apology and a retraction. And this, she gave her opinion.
I have an apology. I'm sorry.
When have we become so sensitive to opinions? When have we become so sensitive to opinions?
I'm sorry for that she spoke.
George Washington would be turning over in his motherfucking grave.
I think the perfect scene is from a movie called PCU, where they're all standing in line for this kegger, and you have all these different demographics talking about how oppressed they are, but yet they're standing in a fucking line for a kegger, going in to have a righteous fucking happy good time. Just shut up and have a good time. Just laugh. Just fucking laugh. That's all you gotta do. Somebody says something that offends you.
What was PCU, 1990?
Like 92 or 93?
Yeah, just...
And he's got a point. It's not a great movie, but it's got some funny stuff in it.
No, it's not a great movie.
If somebody offends you, fuck them.
No. I demand an apology.
No, just...
I demand that you not only apologize, you do these steps to make yourself right with my little click of...
Now's where there's too many IPAs. Kiss my ass, America.
Kiss my ass, America.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
That would be me last week. I'm not there. So, it's a little tangent, but Rock, good luck with Big Trouble in Little China. Do us right.
Dude.
Do us proud. I believe in it.
I believe in you, man.
Cast Nancy as Lopan. You cannot go wrong.
Team, bring it, man. Do it.
Breastfeeding mothers, just suck it up. Some people aren't going to want to see it. It's fine.
And if not, just take a six demon bag.
Mm.
Black blood of the earth.
More powerful than Lopan.
Thank you for joining the Tuesday Night Cigar Club podcast. Episode 10. I'm looking really forward to episode 11, where we'll talk about a good film.
And we'll have to dream up something even better for episode 12, which will be Wednesday night, July the 1st, before the July 4th weekend, when I will be returning.
Yeah, but before that we'll have
to... still watch The Guest, because it's a damn fine film.
We'll see.
I'm not going to do it.
And you got to go back and watch Maggie, man. Watch it.
You got a lot of catch.
Shut up, Mr. Tuttle. You were not brought upon this earth to tell me what movies to watch.
That's what I love about this show.
Loathe him until his flesh falls off.
At some point, one of us will evolve into a really bad Asian accent. And you know what? Protest is all you want. It's not going to change.
No.
We are who we are. May the wings of liberty never lose a feather. See you next week.
For more on O'Brien's Irish Pub, the live music leader in Central Texas, please visit O'BriensTemple.com and download their free smartphone app, where you'll find full beer listings including over 40 on tap, menu information, and a calendar of upcoming events. To learn more about the time I stuffed a beaver with my hands tied behind my... I'll save that one for my book, 50 Shades of Keith. Hell yeah, 50 Shades of Keith. In the meantime, to learn more about the cigars and libations enjoyed on tonight's episode, you can visit www.atlanticcigar.com and www.cedarcreekbrewery.com. To listen and purchase music heard on tonight's program, check out www.fritzbeermusic.com. Thank you for listening to the Tuesday Night Cigar Club podcast. This is Keith A. Howell saying until next time, friends, unless we see you sooner at the pub. So keep it smoky, and for God's sake, keep it ballsy as well.